the man who shot Liberty Valance. He shot Liberty Valance. He was the bravest of them all.
Well, this is the George Zimmerman's trial on inflammatory talk. I am your host, Mr. Midnight Movie. Okay. I am your host, the inflammatory but diplomatic Mr. Midnight Movie. And we're going to go into the questions. We will put people off of mute. And
let's give it a couple minutes because... You know, usually when we go to the show, it takes a few people to settle down, get into their seats, and start listening.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We will get there in a second.
So let me just put something out there. I was yesterday, you and I both, but I started on the Debbie Daly show. I was on there yesterday, and I have been getting the biggest load of flack for being on her show. And I guess people call saying that I'm the biggest Debbie Daly supporter.
Yeah, Stabby's been going crazy with that too.
I go where I want. I'm forgiving. And look, and she called me a real man. I don't even know if I'm a real man. I think one of the shows should be, is Mr. Midnight Movie a man? And maybe people would agree. I think I'm just a human being.
Is it feeling better?
I've been taking good drugs for that.
What are you taking for that, if I may ask?
I've been taking like 300 milligrams
of gabapentin,
like 600 actually, before I go to bed, and 200, like for twice a day, 200 capsules of gabapentin, and then 600 for lunch and dinner that I've been taking.
Of gabapentin.
Of gabapentin, and then I take...
You like that, I guess.
It kills the nerve. It kills the nerve, and have you heard of it before, Jewish producer, being the doctor you've been?
Well, I've never been a doctor, but I do work with a lot of people that have been on gabapentin.
So, why don't we play a little musical interlude so we know who we have. We only have, right now we have Bathtub Girl, and we have Black Jew.
Yeah.
So let's get with the questions.
Oh, here we go. We got callers now.
Yeah, we got some callers here. So do you want to? Okay, and we're gonna ask people questions, and then we're gonna put.
That's right. We have a little list of questions, and we're gonna keep it as not formal. Okay, we're not gonna go formal on Stabby like this, but we're gonna try to have some order in the court. So that means we'll go one at a time, but we'll bring everybody. We'll bring our people on and say hi to them first.
Jewish producer, I don't want to put everyone on at once. I want to have them ask a question and give a full answer. I don't want to put everybody on at once.
Well, okay. I just wanted to see who was here, though. Do you know who these other people are?
Okay, this is Black Jew and Bathtub Girl. Bathtub Girl has somebody else with her, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So let's introduce Black Jew. Are you there?
Hello?
Is this 323? Yeah. Is this Black Jew?
Yeah.
All right.
What's up, man?
All right. We got Black Jew. Okay. We got Black Jew. Okay, same.
Hello?
What's your guys' name? Hello?
Yes, how you doing? I have a question to ask, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Ask away.
My question is, I'm from the Midwest. And when I think of the case that's going on trial, I think about John Gacy and Jeffrey Darvin for this kid that had to fight for his life because he didn't know who this pervert was that was following him, and it could have been John Gacy. So if someone's trailing you and all this kidnapping going on, because I believe, you know, in suburbs, a lot of kids get caught. But see, that black kid had to fight for his life, and he lost his life because he had to fight because he didn't know whether it was John Gacy or Jeffrey Dawson or Hector Skeletor or all the serious killers that like little boys and little girls. So
Hunter
I think
Skelter.
He had to do what he had to do.
Do you think George Zimmerman was going to try to rape him if he didn't fight?
Well, how do you know? He didn't know who he was. He didn't know who this, like you didn't know who he was. He didn't know who that man was coming behind him, so he had to do what he had to do. That's why he fought. That's why John Gacy got up to 28 white kids and killed them because they too easy. Then he had to kill that brother because that brother fought for his life. So that coward had to come out with a gun because he didn't know who that coward was, okay?
Hey, what's your name? What's your name, by the way?
Mr. Colorado.
We're gonna go down to, what's that?
Mr. Colorado.
Mr. Colorado. Okay, we got you on Mr. Colorado. All right. All right.
Stay on hold, Colorado.
Yeah. If you can re-put his name in there, I put something else in there that wasn't correct. 717, what say you?
Hey, guys. This is Mike representing Pennsylvania. And my opening statement to you guys would be Michael Jackson case, molestation case, Casey Anthony, O.J. Simpson. Everybody thinks now that the evidence is overwhelming in George Zimmerman's favor and he's going to get off. But trust me, someone, myself, that I've dealt with Florida law before, this is going to go totally opposite what everybody thinks because the evidence, overwhelming evidence, doesn't mean squat. Florida has a reputation of crazy decisions. All the experts on TV are saying it's going to be George Zimmerman. But, like I said, don't count your chickens yet because I've seen so many verdicts where it seems like every single instance is in one favor and it goes the opposite way. So that's my
Florida
opening statement.
Florida is famous. Yes, they have weird news out of Florida.
All right. That's Mike from Pennsylvania. Hey, guys, can you just have your... Just say your name and stuff, because we're gonna have a boatload of questions, and you'll have plenty of time to answer. We need to extend. We will. All right, 661. What's your name, sir?
Well, that would be us. We got Hippie from Denmark. Yep.
All right.
And we got Hippie from Houston. Falcon.
We got representatives from all over the country.
Yeah.
West,
East,
Central,
West Virginia. Texas,
Nolens.
Nolens.
All right. That is awesome. Hey, guys, we're going to put you guys, what else want to talk, you can put your hand up if you want to be part of the conversation. You guys all have your hand up. These other groups are not. So we'll put you guys on mute and we'll...
pretty small time if he's a criminal thug. I don't know if I'd go that far, to be honest, but...
Oh, you know what? We got 215. 215, what say you? What's your name? Or what name do you want to go by?
ABM calling from Philadelphia.
There we go, Philadelphia. ABM?
Like ABM.
Yeah. All right, ABM. All right, we're gonna go down with the questions. Jewish producer has got the questions.
Now you can ask him too, because there's no reason you can't ask him if you really want to ask, if the question comes to your mind too.
All right.
So yeah, but we'll go down the list in order and let's get started.
All right, let's get started on this puppy dog. You guys have about 2, maybe 3 minutes tops to answer. We got a fairly big board.
Yeah.
So let's go to BTG. You know, let's go to BTG real quick and see who she has as a guest. BTG, who's your guest?
I have Matt Mann as my guest. He's currently not on the board right now, though.
All right. Let's put everyone on mute, back on mute. We'll go down the board. And if you don't know the answer, just say, you know what, I'm not really sure on that, and we'll just go right down the line. Or if you have something interesting to add to the conversation, please do so. All right, okay. Jewish producer.
Yes, first we're going to start off with the question, and I'm going to ask you before we go to the panel. And Mr. Midnight Movie, real quick, will Zimmerman be found innocent or guilty?
I think he's going to be found innocent. There is, you know, there just is enough reasonable doubt, in my opinion, and after tonight it kind of sealed the deal. They're going to closing arguments tomorrow. And let's see what Black Jew has. Do you have anything to add on that, Jewish producer?
Let's go down to Black Jew and see. Let's go down the list here.
Black Jew, what say you on that? Do you think Zimmerman will be found not guilty?
Yes.
Okay. Anything to add on that?
No, I pretty much agree with you that there's so much reasonable doubt there. I think the force is a question, but after analyzing everything that pretty much went down with it, I think he's going to be not guilty.
Mm. All right.
All right, let's go down to Bathtub Girl and see. Thank you for your opinion. Let's go down.
Bathtub Girl, what say you on this situation?
Because of the dummies that were used today, because mm-hmm. each side represented equally, they'll find them innocent.
And it was the dummies, all right?
The dummies did it.
The dummies did it. All right, Mr. Colorado, what say you on the issue?
I figure he's going to be found innocent, too, because so many people looking at this kid, they put his style out about who he was. They didn't put out about this guy wanted to beat up a police, did this to his wife, and they bring it out because this kid had a little weed in him, and I heard someone from your station call him a thug because he's, you know, I understand, I'm African-American, and I wasn't too happy with that because on the strength, every time, you know, like some guy on your show couldn't wait to call this guy a thug, and all this kid was doing going home, and he didn't know who this guy was, so he had the right to fight and do what he had to do to that guy. That's why he's dead, because he stood up like a man, and that grown-ass man who was 100 pounds heavier than him was a coward, because he brought a gun to a fight like a coward. He shot an innocent kid who had a can in his pocket, and all you people who sit around trying to judge him, yes, he probably did things, because we all were teenagers, and we all did things. So I understand that's how society look at African-American beings anyway. Because if there was a white American kid, it would have never been like this. It would have been this one even, I mean, but the white community's out to get this kid because he was black, because he had gold teeth in his mouth, and he had a little weed in his mouth. But, you know, I live here in Colorado, and I see more kids in Colorado doing ecstasy, doing pain pills, doing crystal meth at 17, 18 years old. And, oops, guess who they look like? All you guys trying to judge this little young African-American, but just had a little pot in his system. So I'm glad y'all happy and more than call him a thug, because you know what? All kids thug today. Ain't no angels kids out there. But when that guy was talking about, oh, he's just a thug, yeah, he might be a thug in your eyesight. In my eyesight, his life got took it for no reason, because he was on his way to his dad's house, because we had an old wannabe cop want to sit there and judge him like African-American men have been judged anyway about what's going on. So y'all just go ahead and get your roll off, because in y'all mind, this kid, it ain't about that evil old-ass man who killed that kid. It's about that kid who dead, who his parents feeling sad. But see, that's how the conservative party on y'all behalf, that's how y'all look at black kids anyway. But I see what's going on in Colorado with the white kids. So keep judging, because we three finger pointing at y'all.
Thank you.
Great points.
Great points there. Mike from Pennsylvania, what say you?
Hey, guys, I think what we're going to see, first of all, let me say this. I think George Zimmerman did fabricate some of his story. He had a lot of history of taking a law class, and I think some of it he obviously fabricated to make it look good. I think what we're going to get is he's going to be guilty on a lesser charge, probably manslaughter. And here's the reason why. I think the six women, the jury, are going to start to feel pressure starting tomorrow. Pressure coming from a lot of different areas, from political, maybe what happened after the Rodney King incident, if what's going to happen if for their safety, their family's safety, if they find them guilty. So I think what they're going to do is they're going to panic a little bit, and they're going to come up with a manslaughter charge to make it look like they went halfway. They gave in, didn't convict them of murder too, but gave some to, you know, Trayvon Martin's family. Unfortunately, the problem for George Zimmerman is if they give him a lesser charge, since it's a gun charge, he's going to get probably at least 10 years anyway, and the jury doesn't know that going into deliberations. So unfortunately, even though there's overwhelming evidence, in my opinion, that favors George Zimmerman, at least reasonable doubt, I think we're going to see probably a manslaughter, a lesser charge.
To hell with you. Reasonable doubt is what Mike from Pennsylvania says. Okay. That's it. Guilty on the lesser charge. What do you think about that, Mr. Midnight Movie?
You know what? Anything is possible. Mike brought up. Actually, Mike has been the best caller so far.
I hate to rate him yet.
I'll start it off and then Falcon second. But all I'm doing is I'm saying he's going to be innocent. I believe the eyewitness. I believe the lead detective. And I believe the evidence that was put forth, and there is reasonable doubt, and he's going to be let go, and he's going to be let go of all charges, all right? They're not going to stick any of this on him. He is the victim. He's the true victim, is Zimmerman. And I feel sorry for that young man and what he has to go through the rest of his life. How it'll be destroyed by the
hate. What do you think of the DOJ?
All right.
What do you think of the DOJ going in and into Sanford and helping out with the anti-Zimmerman campaign?
It's despicable. It's absolutely despicable.
Standard Al Sharpton.
Yeah.
Just
well, it was also Eric Holder, but that we'll get to that.
I believe the lead detective, too. I believe the lead detective. I believe the arresting officer. I believe the eyewitness.
Right. And that's it.
Okay. All right, is that it?
I don't know where Mr. Colorado grew up, but where I grew up, I didn't have guns. Now we're finding out they decoded his text messages off his cell phone. He had a gun for sale. He had a Twitter photograph with him holding the gun. He also was talking about selling drugs and talking about fighting. That's marijuana, as far as what I know. Okay. Nobody's talking about these because these are inadmissible. What's also inadmissible is the fact that recently he was not arrested, but he was suspended from school for suspected burglary. He had jewelry that he couldn't account for and a miniature crowbar tool on his person. He would have gotten arrested if it wasn't for a directive by the Stanford police not to arrest minority adolescents, unless it was for a violent crime. He could have been charged with burglary. He breaks into houses, steals people's hard-earned possessions. Now we're finding out selling a gun, dealing in firearms, dealing in drugs. Very interested.
Sounds
in
like a thug.
Fighting. Well, it kind of sounds like a thug to me. Sounds
but
like
none
a wannabe.
None of that's admissible in court. So what's the point?
Well, God, you know what, though? Colorado said a lot of things.
The point is, they just came off a home invasion robbery. You heard the witness today. She wakes up in the middle of the night and finds two black adolescents at the foot of her bed. One of them is still at large. I would suggest that gives George Zimmerman reasonable doubt, not only to provide neighborhood watch, but also to carry a firearm whilst doing so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and to be fair, Jewish producer, Colorado also said a set a lot of opinion out there that may not have been admissible.
Well, I wasn't being upset. I was just trying to get to...
No, I just wanted to... I want to make this thing as fair as possible. All right, ATM Philly. Or ABM Philly. ATM's a little bit something different.
I love the Skype assholes. Are you kidding me, dude?
Okay.
All right, let's go ABM.
ABM.
Will
Zimmerman I think he's going to be found innocent. I mean, the court system always been. It's always been against, the African American historically. So, the view of white America to African American adolescents, we see throughout history that it's always been against them, for whatever reason. I would say insecurity. The caller said, he's a coward. 100 pounds, he weighs 100 pounds more than the adolescent. You couldn't detain him. You couldn't stand a little kid, then you deserve to get your ass whooped. If you 100 pounds more, if you weigh 100 pounds more than a 70-year-old little boy, you deserve to get your ass whooped. That's my comment.
Okay. Well, first of all, overwhelmingly, our panel has said not guilty over guilty, with the exception, I think, of Mike. Our next question is a little trickier. Not everybody may or may not know some of the specific people involved in the case, but I'll ask it anyways. Who was the most convincing person on the defense? Mr. Midnight, why don't you start off by answering?
Well, on the defense or on the prosecution? I thought, and I don't know if he was a forensic expert or not, but mention how the gun was shot.
So that aspect of how the gun was pointed, how it was shot, was the most convincing part for you.
Yes. Yeah.
Why?
Because it showed the position he was on, and that he was on the bottom.
I'm a top. What about you? Are you a pitcher or a receiver?
No, come on now. All right. So, and if you guys don't have an answer, just say, you know what, I didn't watch enough of the trial to have an answer, so, and that's okay, too, because nobody's been having time to watch the whole damn thing. Black Zoo, what say you?
I haven't watched enough of it.
Okay. All right.
And that's what I thought. I didn't think everyone would have an answer on this one, but let's keep going down the list about the
girl.
BGG, Bathtub Girl, what say you on that?
I think the gentleman who did the testimony regarding the dummy, you know, getting on top of the dummy, just showing that on both sides, and then the cross-examination with the dummy as well, that was key. You know, they could not prove their case, and then you have to move that he's not guilty.
Okay.
If you cannot prove your case in either way. If you can't prove that he's guilty, if you can't prove that he's not guilty, you cannot convict him. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I put you on mute.
Okay, let's go to Mr. No, that's a good enough answer.
That makes sense to anybody? Okay, Mr. Colorado.
Type was very insistent. Was the heavy set girl that set up that everybody called ghetto and didn't know how to talk. She stuck to her gun. She said that he was running because this pervert was following him. And when they got close together, he knocked the shit out of him because he didn't know who this guy was. He could have been John Gacy or Jeffrey Darby. So he did what he had to do. And see, this is a black and white thing because I hear all the white folks putting his brother down, who lost his life, and I'm hearing me and this other black dude who gonna stand up for that brother. So y'all do what y'all do, because y'all feel that this kid was guilty because he stood up for who the hell he was by whipping that big cowboy ass. So that's why the country all split up, because black people see it different from y'all. Y'all think this kid was a thug because he had gold in his mouth. What about them kids walking around with all this black on their face looking like vampires? So, you know, keep judging all kids, because every time y'all kids get mad, the first time they start shooting them, they start in y'all house first. So keep acting like he's a thug, he's a bad kid. He the one did all this. But you know what, in my sight, I wish he would have hit that something and broke his nose and his neck. Okay, but at least he stood up for heels, because on the strength, he did go out with a bang, because he didn't get raped. He didn't get stomped on somebody's porch, and he didn't get slaughtered like majority of the kids get, because he stood his ground and died like a man. So y'all keep trying to drag his name in dirt because he's a black man. You know him for that anyway. So that's how I feel, Mr. Colorado.
All right.
Word up. That was good stuff. Mike from Pennsylvania, what was the most convincing aspect of the defense or
the prosecution?
Well, I have two, but just to address Colorado's statement, I'm a white male, 40 years old, and I'm on his side, because if you look at George Zimmerman's past, he has a lot of issues himself, including an altercation with a police officer, domestic violence. So I'm not judging Trayvon Martin at all. I think they both had their issues. That being said, the most important witness I've seen so far is Jonathan Good. That's the neighbor who first said that he saw Trayvon Martin on top of George Zimmerman. And my second witness that's important is the Vietnam vet that said he recognized George Zimmerman's voice screaming. He said that in war, he heard people screaming in Vietnam for their lives, and he said he could relate that and had more experience than the other people hearing someone scream for their life. So it would be Jonathan Good and then the Vietnam vet.
I didn't know about the Vietnam vet, actually. I'd missed
his uncle was a Vietnam vet. George Zimmerman's uncle was a Vietnam vet. Wasn't that correct, or was it somebody else?
That might have been possible, but there was one guy that was not related to George Zimmerman that testified. I think it was out of the seven people that recognized his voice, and the one was a Vietnam veteran. I found it really compelling because, to me, it came down to the voice, who was screaming for their life, and that's where it kind of turned to me, the trial, when you know, kind of went to George Zimmerman's, it was probably his voice. And another thing I had a little issue with is, and this isn't any knock against Trayvon Martin's father, he had said, the police officer said when he was first interviewed, he said no at first, that wasn't my son's voice. And then after they had a meeting
right.
together with the Trayvon Martin and his family, it seems to me they kind of got the story together where they said it was his voice. So I found out a little suspicious.
I agree with you. Yes, important point that hasn't been brought up to her. Yes.
All right. All I'm going to say is I believe the lead detective was it, and that witness that saw him being pounded. All right, Depp, who do you think? Deputy?
Well, I pretty much agree. I think that the dummy was an important factor, and it still comes down to the situation that he was on the bottom. His life was certainly in jeopardy. This kid was wailing on him, and you've got to do what you've got to do. And now I hope the man gets off. He's going to have a difficult life, even if he does. But these criminals. They need to learn. They go into neighborhoods. They're going to be watched. They're certainly watched in my neighborhood.
I agree pretty much with what Mike's saying. The lead detective was pretty compelling for me. He's a 20-year vet, over 9,000 cases under his belt. He interviewed him 3 different times, one time on site. He used, in his terms, aggressive interrogation techniques he has been using over those 9,000 cases he's been involved in. I think if there's any major inconsistencies in Zimmerman's story, that detective would have, would have weaned him out of him. And then the father, all right? Father clearly said, no, that is not my son's voice, all right? He changed the story. They got together as a group and decided that the lie was the best way to go here, especially when there was $1 million from the Homeowners Association involved.
Money.
Ew.
Hippie, what do you think there? Hippie from Denmark?
Come on, Hippie.
Well, I'm trying to understand the whole thing, and I think it will be a shame for the United States if they convict him.
Right.
All right.
I just wanted to put you on, because I didn't want to go all over the place. I just wanted to read what Flycatch says. Our news media is to blame for all the racial discord and should be held accountable when the riots starts. Sammy has logged out for whatever reason.
He'll be back. All right.
ABM Philly?
ABM.
Yeah. Yeah, I view the whole trial as a circus. You know what I'm saying? That's my personal opinion from... the so-called quote-unquote Vietnam vet, it's a whole circus, you know what I'm saying? The most compelling one to me would be the black girl, I forget her name, because she was actually on the phone with him during this whole process, you know what I'm saying? So the closest account to Trayvon Martin of what was actually going on. So and she stuck to her story, she was a little ignorant, but she stuck to her story, that's the most important thing, what the guy Colorado said, here you have it, right? Even with the whole thing, he was saying, he was screaming. How you a grown-ass man screaming on some 17-year-old is on top of you? I don't even believe that shit. He was screaming. He was screaming. He had a gun in his hand. He was screaming. What do you say? Help me. You know what I'm saying? He was screaming. He had a little boy on top. He's a coward. He deserved to get his ass booked.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They mentioned that woman, and I'm just going to make a comment about this. They mentioned that woman who was ignorant, who couldn't read cursive. To me, it's a real shame of our school system, and I just want to mention this. I know it's out of place, and if anyone wants to comment on that, they can. But our school system is a real shame, and we really should go to the voucher school system. Years ago, kids that couldn't read or write that well were put in the parochial system, and that's not the case anymore. And all these liberal politicians all send their kid to private school. All right, Jewish producer, put on another question.
All right, so I'm going to do this one. I'm going to go in the opposite order this time. We're going to go from the bottom up. And the question here is simple. What effects will this have on future race relations? This is a question I've been wanting to hear answered. What's the future of race relations? Bathtub girl?
Well, I wanted to make a comment, if I could, if that's possible.
Go ahead.
On the previous.
Answer the question. So can you keep it to the question that I asked?
Okay, I do. You wanted to know how this will affect future race relations. Are you talking in regards to court cases or just in life in general?
We're just talking about race relations. Just walk into the market in the morning and saying hello to your neighbor.
Life in general.
You know, take it where you want to go. I mean, this could be either. This could be in a case where you're in court and you have to deal with it there, or if you're at the market and you get into a fight there.
I think when it comes to court cases, that people that are of a minority race relations may think twice about going to court and may take matters into their own hands. And people that are in majority race relations may go ahead and go to court and seek out reparations. So we may see an eye for an eye when it comes to minority races. And I could understand that because there's a framework to work within. And when that framework does not work for you, maybe they'll go for more biblical framework and just go ahead and go for that, or go for Sharia law where it works in various states, like in the state of Oklahoma. Sharia law definitely does not work. You know, you can't even go for that in the state of Oklahoma. You know, I think we'll see a shift. We'll see a shift in eventual race law
within
20 years.
Now, what was your opinion? I think you had a comment to make. What was that all about?
Well, when you're talking about cursive, it's not even taught in the schools. Within the last 5 to 10 years, phased out of the educational
system. Mr. Midnight Movie, did you know that schools have taken out cursive from the
No, I didn't know that.
It's been phased out.
Yeah, that is.
It's been phased out within the last 5 to 10 laws or years.
Okay,
rather.
We're gonna go down the line.
That young woman was raised in
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm moving on.
Yeah, we got it. Okay, let's have
ABM.
Let's go to Black Jew.
Hold on. No. We're going to go up the list here.
Up the list. Okay.
ABM. Let's answer. How do you feel about this? What are the effects on the future race relations here in America?
I think race relations after the Black Power movement. For those who aren't aware, that would be post, going into the 80s, it's been kind of a spectacle. It's been like a facade. So that's what you would see. You would see a so-called protest and the Negro leaders coming up to the forefront. Do a little protest, it's nonviolent. Eventually it died down and go away. You know, but, you know, as far as, an actual reaction, that's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to go back to normal. It's not going to be some real, you know what I'm saying, white America, you know, I mean, there really is insecurity on the part of white America to even think anything different than that. But the white man has always been.
Oh, I'm sorry. I cut him off. I'm sorry, ABM. Finish that point real quick.
Sorry, we're done talking. Go ahead.
I'm done.
Okay, Skype assholes, please, it's over to you. What's the future of race relations? What effects is that case going to have?
It's going to deepen the chasm between white and black in America. You heard Mr. Colorado. He's making this into a racial issue. George Zimmerman was not a racist. He's never a racist bone in his body. He mentored two black adolescent youths. He defended another black adolescent youth against a police brutality charge. All right? The man was colorblind. It's far as overall race relations in the United States, yeah, it can't do anything but worsen it. People would be more apprehensive, more distrusting of black people, all right? These guys said it themselves. They think different than we do, all right? They're not able to integrate themselves into a modern social order, no matter how hard they try. It's because of their African roots. But as far as that basic question,
Good job.
It's going to deepen race relations. It's going to deepen
the chasm. I like that. Any of you other assholes over there want to answer that, or should we move on?
Move on.
Anyone else have anything to add to that?
All right, we'll go. We'll get you on the next roll down.
We'll get you on the next roll on. Okay, Mike, you got any comments to what you heard, or you want to repeat the question? Or?
Yeah, no, I know. I heard the question. I don't blame blacks or whites in this situation. I blame the media. The media has blown this case into something way more than it should be, and they almost want an acquittal so they can have their helicopters in the sky, you know, if there are riots, and turn it into a movie so they can make money with getting everyone, you know, on CNN, Fox News, wherever. I think it's a shame. However, I think the problem, in my opinion, is the court system in general. I don't have any belief in the court system from what I've seen the last 20-some years on some of these high-profile cases. So I think in Florida, you know, the standard ground, the self-defense law has to be modified because I think it's a joke. If I'm Trayvon Martin's father, I'm probably going to say whatever I have to make my case look as good anyway. So, you know, I don't blame anybody here. I don't think we're looking at if there was an acquittal. We're looking at a situation like Rodney King, because that was just something that really came out of nowhere, and it really infuriated everyone. I don't think this case is at the same level. There might be a few instances here or there. But the one thing I would worry about is social media. Back when the Rodney King riots happened, there wasn't no, you know, Facebook or Twitter. I would think you're going to see more of a social media battle than an actual riots in the streets.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
Yeah, well, we got a people from Philadelphia and from Pennsylvania. Both have had violent, and every violent flash mob has been black on white. I just wanted to make that point out there. It just has. If anyone can point out a black flash mob or a white flash mob that's attacked blacks or any other groups, please let me know. But from what I understand, social media flash mobs to get violent have all been black on white. Mr. Colorado.
What I feel about this is that it's going to be a black and white thing because we all see things different. When I hear the young lady speak that he should not go to jail about killing a guy walking home in the rain, talking to his girlfriend, minding his business on the phone, ain't did nothing because some pervert falling for him, then get out the car, get the shit knocked out of it, and then it's all that matters is his fault because he stood his ground like a young man. And for her to say how that if they send him to jail, shoot a guy with no gun in his hand, ain't doing nothing but minding his business going to his parents' house. He's the one should be. And when I hear a young lady speak that if they lock him up, see, that's go back in the history of America about how 95% of African Americans in jail and majority of the whites get slapped on the wrist. Because I ain't never heard them put not one white man to sleep for killing black people. So, you know, so for you guys to sit up there and judge the kids who didn't have a gun and they did nothing but head into his daddy's house because he had a little marijuana, that make him a thug. And he probably was a thug because he come from a different neighborhood from where your kids raised. But, you know, for y'all to keep putting this kid down like he did something wrong, and see, that's when it come black and white. Y'all see it y'all way, and African Americans see it our way. Because guess what? Guess who mess up white folks? white folks. Guess who messed up black folks? Black folks. So y'all need to stop trying to act like that everything's so goody-goody. Because who killing y'all? This y'all. Every time we have some serious killing going in y'all community, it'd be another white person. Every time school shooting, majority of the time, it'd be little white kids. So maybe we need to start seeing the white kids coming down the street and start running, because we don't know if they might pull out a gun and start spraying people. You know, so for y'all to keep trying to make this a black, I mean, trying not to say it's a black and white thing, you know that's what it is. Listen how y'all talking. Look how y'all seeing. Y'all ain't showing no respect to this man, kid who got killed, who didn't have a gun, who didn't, somebody fought at him, somebody walked up on him because he had knocked the shit out of this something. He should have hit him. But y'all don't see that. Only thing y'all see that he got his head banged and he so had protected himself. What about that kid protecting himself? About some grown-ass man fighting him with a pistol. So, but y'all don't see it that way. Only way y'all see it is the way that kid was a thug because he had gold in his mouth, a little marijuana. He did this. And oh, what? White kids don't break in houses? White kids don't smoke weed? White kids don't drop pills? White kids don't... Yes, I'm making it a black and white thing because that's what the hell y'all doing, Mr. Colorado.
All right. Colorado.
Get
out there. I like that. I like that he says his name at the end so we know he's through with his point.
Black Jew!
Black Jew!
Black Jew!
Yeah, yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Now, you used to be from Colorado. you want to get to the question? Do you remember the question, Judge Krieger?
I remember it. Do you need me to read it again?
Do you want me to read it again, Black Jim?
Sure.
Okay, what are the effects that this case, the George Zimmerman case, what effects will this have on future race relations?
You know, to be honest, I think, unfortunately, it's going to make things worse.
Any elaboration?
Well, I've seen a little bit of both sides of what went on, and I think that some of it is a little too emotional. And you said not to you?
Is it good enough for him?
That's good enough.
Yeah, I think a little of it is you know, too emotional. Basically, from what I've seen of the what I know of it and what went down, it seems like I mean honestly, I could see a kid wanting to fight back with someone stalking them, but at the same time I don't see that Zimmerman really has enough against him, and there's too much reasonable doubt in that situation. I mean, if someone was basically, you know, following me, I probably wouldn't like it either. But at the same time, I don't think it's the right for me to turn around and attack them either. And, you know, some may disagree with me about that. And then at the same time, it's also, you know, I guess the issue of, you know, how much force can I use back? You know, there's been times where I think if someone attacked me, you know, I want to get them off of me, and then at the same time, maybe I want to blow their head off. So, but I think I think he's going to be found not guilty, and I think that is back to the point is that the race relations basically is. I think that it's going to be a lot of emotion as a result of it.
All right, Black Jew. My next question is: will there be any? Or I'm sorry. Is there any objectivity on the other side, or both part? Or do you think that both parties are ignoring what points the other is making? Is that Mr. Midnight Movie? Is that kind of the question?
Sure. All right, we'll go down the row. Yeah.
Is that the question you want to ask,
though?
Yeah. All right. Is there objectivity on the other side, or are both parties completely ignoring the other's point of view? What do you think, Black Jew?
I think that there has been a lot of ignorance in this case. I mean, again, it's a hard one. You know, it's like, you know, I could see where some people were coming. I mean, bluntly, I could see on the black and white side of things, what their argument is. I mean, here's this, you know, black kid, 17 years old, I guess, and, you know, he gets killed by this non-black person. You know, it's kind of like, okay, we want justice, and, you know, it's an outrage if this guy doesn't get, you know, punishment, because if a black kid did it, he would go to jail. At the same time, you know, there's just so much reasonable doubt there, which is, I don't think that you rightfully convict someone when you don't have, enough to prove that this was, you know, spitefully done, or, you know, this is actually murder. I mean, if someone attacked me, I would probably want to, you know, put them in their place pretty badly too. So I think it's just a very difficult case. I think that he's going to walk. I think there's going to be people very emotional after it. But I think someone mentioned that it's going to pass. I think it will after time. Yeah, I don't think it's quite the Rodney King thing that, you know, it's evident somebody got, you know, beat or whatever, that's the case. But then, you know, there's more of that case too. Maybe it may, you know, race relations may get better eventually when I think people kind of just examine the facts.
All right. Thank you. I'm sorry. You were saying? I'm sorry. I cut you off. Okay, go ahead. Sorry about that.
I just do think that there's going to be somewhat of a little uproar, because I think that he's going to be found not guilty.
All right. We got other callers, so let's go to Mr. Colorado.
Well, I think, okay, what you just asked, I think he's going to be found not guilty. And my thing is this, like that gentleman just said, what took place, and the question was, what do I think about the relationship?
Is there any objectivity on either side?
Excuse me?
Is there any objectivity on either side? Is there any objectivity?
Yes. What I think is, like I said, you guys see it one way, and I feel this kid didn't do that. I feel this kid was, and then I'm hearing y'all saying that he ran and attacked this guy. That wasn't proven in court. They don't know who started the fight. All they know, they got the fight. Then you have some people say he was on top. Some people said the dude was on top. So they both was rolling. That's what fighting is all about. Now, y'all sound like cowards. So this comes on the strength. This kid stood up like a man and died by being a man, because he didn't let this pervert, because, you know, and y'all try to make it, you know, this one-sided way that the only person that did some wrong because he ran up and attacked this guy. How you know he attacked? Where was y'all at? Where was y'all standing at when he for had attacked this guy? How did he attack him? This guy fought him. This guy get out of his truck when the police told him to stay in his truck. Don't follow him. So where was y'all at when all this? So all of a sudden, in all y'all mind, that the kid attacked him. So in my mind, I don't think he attacked that guy. That guy was following him. That's why it's a black and white thing. That's why it's going to be a racist thing to the end. Because we all see things different. I see a pervert following a young kid at 17 years old, his girlfriend on the phone telling him to run because he might be a pervert. You don't know if he's a child molester or a rapist. And so in this kid's mind, he don't know what to do. Then when he get up to this guy got a gun in his hand. So, and I heard a few people say it sounded like a kid, not a grown-ass man with a gun. So y'all don't see that. So if that grown-ass man was hollering because that kid's got the drilling on his ass, good. That grown-ass man should be hollering like a little girl. Because you know what? That kid did the right thing to attack this pervert who he don't know fathering him. So he had the right to hit that son bitch in the nose and knock his punk ass out. That's how I feel as an African-American. Because I know how Jessa is in court system. Because I've been there and done it. I know who gets slapped on the wrist and who going to the penitentiary. That's why 95% African-American and Hispanics in jail, but go catch them perverts who be raping kids and doing what they do. Oh, they going to go, first thing y'all going to send them to a nut house. Oh, he got mental problems. He got issues. So, you know, but everybody else is thugs. But you guys, so keep judging that kid, because y'all pointing at that kid with three fingers looking at y'all, okay, Mr. Colorado.
Here we go. I love that.
Mike. Is there objectivity on either side?
Well, I don't see much. I mean, for the most part, you know, from the beginning of the trial, whatever side that, you know, you were on, whether it was George Zimmerman or Trayvon Martin, pretty much everyone I've seen stay on that side. You know, it's strange because you hear what you want to hear. If you're on Trayvon Martin's side, any evidence you hear in his favor, you stick to it and you hold on to it. And if you're on George Zimmerman's side, you stick on any information you hold that on to. But just concerning Colorado's last comments, Colorado, I actually think you're going to be happy come Friday when that verdict comes, because I'm the only one here on the panel that thinks he's going to get guilty, not necessarily because of the evidence, but because of some of the political pressure. I think the jurors just, it's going to be overwhelming for him, and they have to know it's out there. So I think Colorado, he's not going to walk free. And a lot of people, you know, including yourself, Colorado, I think you might be happy if you're going to be in jail for 10 years. And trust me, you saw what happened to Jeffrey Dahmer in jail. So he's going to be a target in jail. Whether it's right or wrong, you know, that's the world we live in. So that's my answer. Pennsylvania, out.
All right. Thank you, Pennsylvania.
Mr. Midnight Movie, I have a news break, actually. I want to bring in this caller really quick. We're going to get to you just after we take this caller from Syndicated News, who is a reporter covering the trial. Very interesting. How are you doing, 321?
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for calling us. You're a reporter in Florida?
Yes. I write for syndicatednews.net, and I've been covering it since last year. I covered all the hearings, and I've never missed a date, and I've never missed a court date either.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks for giving us a call. Mr. Midnight Movie, do you have any questions for Syndicated News?
Do you have any, like, if you were a betting woman, what would be, who do you think, how do you think the trial's going to turn out, since you're the closest to it?
The question, it's very interesting and very, very sexy. The difficulty is it forces you to choose a winner as though it were an entertainment procedure. And we've already lost one life, and another one hangs in the balance. If you have enough money to present a good case, you can, and that's what's happening now. Like the little cartoon movie, that was a major production that had to be paid for. Bringing in people to present their own businesses that they're trying to promote. Oh, I'm into MMA, and I can even teach you how to defend yourself with a pen. That business, we looked at the licensure, and it's less than a year old. Therefore, he set up that business to promote it at the same time that this case was getting famous, and immediately put ads out saying, I'm going to be testifying tomorrow on the case for promotion. Many people have come in to promote themselves. We never changed the name of the file that we wrote for Trayvon Benjamin Martin. The night that we got the call was about 3 a.m. on the 27th, several hours after he had been shot. And I named that file Child, and to this day, I have never changed it. We still call him Child because in the eyes of the law, he's still a child. And the photograph that we used, I know that many people were upset with us because I used a photograph. I used his autopsy picture showing him face up on the ground from the shoulders, and I showed his entire head. The reason I did that, and I want to explain myself, I did that because I wanted to show the public that this kid, his Adam's apple was not developed, and he had tiny little fuzz at the edge of his chin. He hadn't even developed secondary sexual characteristics such as the chest, heavy hair under in the armpits, where the Adam's apple protrudes. He hadn't even gotten to that point. He was still at the point where when he spoke, many times he would start speaking at a regular rate, and his voice was still shooting up like he was pubescent. This was a kid. And to this day, his file is still called Child at Syndicated News. We never called him anything else. Did people come in, news media also, arguing with each other for ratings? Absolutely. And in many cases, we actually have to sit down and just be quiet because many people, black and white, from the left and the right, from the NRA, from the green machine, they come forward with their minds made up. They want a side to win. They look at it as though it's something they can bet on in Vegas. Have you seen the pool they have in Vegas as to how the outcome of this case is? Multi-millions.
What are the odds?
Multi-millions.
What are the odds?
The odds are running that he'll be acquitted, that Zimmerman will be acquitted. And let me explain something about young people, especially someone who is multilingual. That's something that you guys have all ignored. In the United States is one of the only countries in the world that doesn't require a second language. In Europe, if you don't graduate high school with a minimum of three languages, you're not graduating, because the way the world is, that it's round, and in being round, you're going to be dealing with people from all sorts of walks of life and languages. The United States, Americans generally speak English. That girl that everybody makes fun of, Chantel, let me tell you a little bit about Chantel. That girl's parents, one parent is from Haiti, which means she speaks French patois. The other parent is from the Dominican Republic, which means she also grew up speaking Spanish. By the age of four, she already spoke two languages very well. And coming to Miami, she picked up English in 6 weeks. She's trilingual. And let me tell you something about the Caribbean and South America and most of the rest of Europe. When we say sombra, shade, we mean from the rain or the sun. She's Haitian and Dominican, and she kept saying, Trevon was looking for some shade. And nobody knew what she meant. She meant sombra. That's the word that's recognized around the planet Earth when you want to shade yourself from water or sunshine. Yes, that's right. If you look at the geography where the mailboxes are, there are overheads. So you could stand by the mailbox and not get rained on. That's why he kept darting into them. And when I went there and it was raining and it was dark, you know where I stood? Same place. I immediately went to the same place everybody does, because it's the only place there with shade where there's a little overhang and you don't get rained on directly. That's why he was standing in there. Another problem. We timed from where the car was to where the scuffle was. There wasn't enough time. The only way that this could have happened would have been if Zimmerman got out of the car, and you can hear the bells of his car door. He was getting out of the car when he was told not to.
Yes.
And in Caribbean, and I'm a Hispanic mother and a teacher, I tell my son, if it's 7 in the evening and a guy's coming after you, fight or flight. But just don't let him come on. Don't let him get near you. It wasn't 11 o'clock at night. It wasn't 3 a.m. It was 7 in the evening, and here's a male that's aggressively coming at him. Doesn't matter where the scuffle was. Do you know what the word, medical word for cut is? It's called laceration. Do you know how to measure? 2 tiny centimeters. Do you know how tiny a centimeter is? Those lacerations, there were only 2 of them. One was 3 centimeters, the other one was 2. When you scratch your head, you bleed a lot. Now, his nose, he never let anyone x-ray his nose, and he won't allow it now, because if they x-ray his nose now, you will find that there is no curing of the bone. When you have a fissure crack in the bone or a break in the bone and it heals, it makes a scar within the bone where the 2 pieces of bone have fused together. It doesn't exist, and that's
right.
Why they stopped using the word broken nose. There was never a broken nose. Never. Never happened.
I did wonder about that. They did change.
So we gave you a longer time because you came on a little later, but it was great. What's your name? What's your name again?
My name is DiTucci Barrows, and I write for Syndicated News, and we appear in the United States and Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. If you go to syndicatednews.net, you'll see that you can translate any of our articles into more than 200 languages. And I waited patiently because I wanted to hear everyone's viewpoint. A lot of what's happening now is from the heart. What's happening is that people are reacting emotionally. So they've divided to the black and white camp. This is Florida. We are beneath the Mason-Dixon line. In 2009, I'm not talking about 50 years ago. I'm talking about 2009. Remember, it's only 2013. In 2009, a cop went to a CVS or a Walgreens, I forget which one. You could find it online. He went to develop his pictures, but the machine didn't work. They told him, come back, we'll fix the machine. When he got back, the FBI was waiting for him because his pictures were of himself and his other fellow officers wearing their local police uniforms and their KKK robes. I knew that within 2 to 3 weeks, both the Florida Today newspaper and Orlando Sentinel would take down those pictures. And I said that to my friends and relatives. Watch these pictures. They'll be gone. And by the way, yes, I did copy the photographs. I have them all. And if anyone wants them, write to news@syndicatednews.net. I will email them back to you, news@syndicatednews.net, and I will send you the photographs. I took them because I knew that they would make them disappear. This is a place where they'll laugh in your face and smile at you, but it's like Paula Deen crying because her grandfather killed himself because he had no more slaves to help run the plantation. There are people down here that think that way still.
Yes. No, we do. I thank you for your opinion. And like you, we have other listeners patiently waiting.
Absolutely.
Over 20 minutes. So thank you. Thank you.
Didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah, absolutely. We'll come back to you. Now, Flycatch, he was a Vietnam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got an opinion. That sounded like La Raza to me, man. I hate to tell you, man. That was somebody, man. That was psychotic, man, at best. But you know what? This trial should have been like, use the evidence, and they did, and we're going to get the verdict. Should have been white against white against black, white against black. The evidence, you're still going to go one way, and that's for acquittal. You had a Chinese man there fighting a Japanese man, or a Japanese man fighting a white man. If you just look at the evidence, he's going to get off, all right? I mean, what do you think? You think that, Falcon? What do you think of that? It's like La Raza.
If any reasonable person sees it just that same way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
could have been a purple person against a green person. I mean, it's just look at the evidence and replace the black and white with any color, and you're still going to go Zimmerman's way.
Yeah. Believe me, if Zimmerman was black and Trevon was white, they'd be given every excuse in the world why he was justified in shooting him.
This whole thing is politically driven. It's driven to a point where Eric Holder, if you recall, stepped in. That was a state right issue as far as I'm concerned. There was nothing going on there that required the federal government to intercede there. Every state has their own state attorney. If they're, you know, deviating from the norm that much, yes, the feds look at this administration and look at what's behind it. We've got a black president that has agendas when the racial things have come up in the past, the beer conference and so on and so forth. That's the point, boys and girls. This is all racially and politically motivated, and that's just what the administration wants. It's
right, and Zimmerman was
chaos and convoluted processes.
Right, and he was half Hispanic, too. That's what I don't get. Why aren't they blaming the Hispanic whites? All right, well, we're done. All right, Hippie, you have anything to say? Hippie?
Not really.
All right, we're done. Thank you.
Well,
yeah.
Did someone else have something to say?
Yeah,
a lot, but it
wouldn't
be nice.
Yeah, Wolf has something to say. Wolf, you're up.
Yeah, that lady was just talking her name, apparently Ruthie Barrows at Syndicated News. I found one article there, Gabble Gabble. I'm trying to find something which shows me, because she said she's been covering the case since last year. She sounds tremendously biased, if you ask me. Even sounds a little bit like a white guilt going on there with some of her, you know, intonations. But I'm really interested to find out more of her material. maybe she could come back on and give us a website. So I'm looking at syndicated news, and I only find one article there.
Her rhetoric is completely intact.
I do have a link for you guys, actually. I'll throw that out in the chat board.
I think she spoke very well. She spoke very well, in my opinion. Now, Flycatch said she's nothing more than a Marxist. I don't know. I thought that she spoke extremely well. But like I said, both sides can get a little bit heated. Now, we have 301, and I want to know if he has anything to say. And he hasn't given his name. 301, can you give your name and anything to add?
Yes, this is Black Achievement USA, and I have a few things to add, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. Yes.
Thank you. First, I just want to mention, Rachel Gentile, her testimony was dreadful. Dreadful. Had nothing to do with her speaking multiple languages at home. When a mother and father get together, what language do they speak? They speak Patois French. They speak Spanish. No, they speak English. She was born in America. She was reared in America. She's been to school all through America. She should know how to speak English. If she needed a translator speaking Spanish or Patois French, she should have requested one. She was not prepared. She was in over her head, and she had a nasty attitude, and it was dreadful. She did Trayvon Martin's memory, and I don't mean to be harsh on her because it wasn't totally her fault at all, but it didn't work. And that leads me to my point that before this case actually went to trial, there was a public relations campaign put on quite effectively by Trayvon Martin's family's attorney, Mr. Crump, where they released a lot of, I'm not going to say baby photographs or early teenage years photographs of him in a Hollister shirt, him holding a baby, him at an airplane show. You know, very, very nice photographs of him. Not any recent photographs, of course. My problem with that is that Trayvon Martin that we saw in those photographs didn't come through in this trial with the prosecution. As far as I'm concerned, based on this trial, and it's sad that Trayvon Martin represents every young black teenager that has ever broken into someone's home and gotten away with it. That's what he represents at this trial. Today there was testimony given that should have never been given by a young lady. She served multiple purposes. She was a victim of a break-in. She lived in the community. She said that George Zimmerman came by to see her. He was kind and considerate. He consoled her, let her know anything he could do, let him know. She mentioned that she was frightened and she was scared of being home alone. And George offered, you know, if you need, my wife is at home. She's a nursing student. You can always come by. You can call her. She can come here. We're there for you. Made George Zimmerman look fantastic. But on the other hand, she says, as she describes the assailant who broke into her home, while she was there with her young child, rattling on the door trying to get into her bedroom, she says that the assailant was a young, teenage, black male who lived in the community. Man, he fit the profile of Trayvon Zimmerman. Trayvon Martin. Not that it was Trayvon Martin, but it left a nasty tinge in the eyesight of the jury that, well, maybe this wasn't motivated by ill will. Maybe this wasn't a malice afterthought. Maybe, you know, he just reasonably suspected that, you know, Trayvon, you know, may have been, you know, up to no good. It's perhaps, but there wasn't anything there that would necessitate the mens rea requirement for second-degree murder. And it was just pathetic that the prosecution allowed her to testify. I end here. I'm going to tell you. I'll end right here, sir. Give me 10 seconds. I'll end right here.
Okay.
Because the judge, if the judge would have said, granted the motion for directed verdict either at the end of the prosecution's case or at the end of the defense case. She was well within her right to do so. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to add up Black Achievement. This woman had been in special ed. I wonder, you know, like I said, why the Black community is so upset about this case and not the miserable state of education, which most of the Black politicians and the politicians in these inner cities send their children to private schools, yet they're against the voucher system, which would take these kids out of the horrible schools that put kids into special ed where they can't even read what they recited. I don't know if you have a comment on that or.
I do. Of course I do. Of course I do. I'm extremely, extremely disappointed in public education. I'm extremely disappointed in the slant that some in my community put towards Rachel Shentil, saying that she was authentic. The girl couldn't read or write, okay? She couldn't read. I noticed when he gave her the transcript that was in manuscript and asked her to read what she had said, I could tell by her gesture and the way she looked at the paper, she wasn't reading. When he gave her something that was written in cursive and asked her to read a letter she supposedly had written, she couldn't read cursive writing. She couldn't even write. She didn't even write the letter. Okay? I'm just flabbergasted at why we're not focusing on, she's 20 years old. She's been a 20-year-old senior. Okay? And to me, my question was, does Trayvon have any more friends you can call? Because her attitude just will I'm sure it turned the jury off. Even though what she had to say I thought was pivotal to the case, very important to the case, and I'm just surprised that the prosecution let her out there to fed her to the wolves, basically. Fed her to the wolves. What Wes told her on his cross, he didn't really cross her because Wes never chimed in on anything that she said on direct examination. What Wes was doing was trying to get under her skin, okay? That's all Wes was doing. Everything Wes said to her had nothing to do with her credibility. He just wanted to hear her talk and let the jury see what nasty attitude she had. And she fell right into it. And nobody explained to her how the criminal justice system works. No other witness. George Zimmerman has had 5, 6, 7, 8 witnesses get on there and say, that's Georgie saying screaming help. Have you ever heard Georgie scream for help? No. But I know Georgie. That's Georgie. They all have come to court with excellent comportment. Even if you believe them or not, you can't say that they disgraced or did a disservice to George Zimmerman. They all came in and just said, that's George. That's George. They even Skyped in saying, that's George. That's George. Okay? But who did Trayvon Martin have to say that it was his mother? And even called the father in, gentlemen and ladies. Even called the father. Who called the father of prosecution? No. The defense called the father in. Why? Because he said that it wasn't Trayvon. Come on. So what are we doing here? I think that if the Trayvon Martin family is planning on filing a civil suit against George Zimmerman, the longer this case went on, okay, it damaged their civil case outlook. It damaged it because at this point, I don't even know if they have if they can meet the burden of proof for a civil case. I don't know. And what you said about the Justice Department, believe me, Holder did nothing to intercede in this case, y'all. Don't believe that. The Justice Department did not intervene in this case. The Justice Department worked in what they call community relations. They may have gave a grant to Al Sharpton. They may have gave a grant to some of the other groups to get out to educate people on this case or whatever. But they did not in any way intercede in this case. Furthermore, the special prosecutor, who did a terrible job and didn't do right by her prosecutors, because she did not employ another team of CSI and detectives to look over the job that Samford had did. How in the hell are you going to have your prosecutors call up law enforcement and they're going to support the defendant? they're going to speak glowingly of his defendant. It makes no sense. That no one is going to convict a defendant of second-degree murder when the police says that he's a good guy, that they believe this story, that he was remorseful.
Yeah.
Come on, man. If Judge Nelson should have said, because Judge Nelson knows it's being televised, she knows it's a highly publicized trial, she knows she would have came and said, accepted that directed verdict, there would have been mass upheaval, perhaps, I'm not for sure, in the street. So she took the pressure off of her, basically. She didn't want to take the pressure. Oh, no. Let me continue with this case and let me give it to the jury. And I'm saying, if they give it to the jury Friday at 9 o'clock, definitely, definitely before lunch, they'll come back with a not guilty verdict. That's what they should get knowing in Vegas, is how quick they're going to come back with a not guilty verdict. I give it no longer than 2 hours, really. They're ready to go home now, I can tell you that. The jury is ready to go home now, and when this is all said and done, they're going to tell you that after Rachel Chantel got off the stand, and the defense rest and the prosecution rest, they were ready to go home. Because there's nothing there. It's a shame because I, for one, think, I want to get this on record. I, for one, gentlemen, I think George Zimmerman is lying. I think his stories definitely don't add up, and it don't jive with the 911 call, definitely. But hey, the burden is on the prosecution, and they just didn't measure up. That's all. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Black Achievement. Let me Black Jew. What say you? And we'll go down the list. Anything to add on that?
Well, not to add on that. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, not necessarily to add on that, but I think the thing is, and sometimes with these legal cases, there's a lot of runaround. And I really think the bottom line is the actions that were taken. I think it was Colorado that had spoken. And, hey, and I'm just being honest. If someone was following me, I'm probably not going to be too happy about that. You know, I think it was, I could even share the black, quote, black sentiment. You know, there's this non-black guy following me around. You know, what the heck is he following me around? Is he trying to, you know, whatever the case may be. But at the same time, I think that the bottom line is, in this case, despite of who's lying or who may not be lying or this or that, if I'm the kid and somebody's following me, let's, you know, for example, if you, Mr. Midnight's following me, I do not have the right to turn around and bash your head just because you're following me. I may not like it. I think I have the right to call him a bunch of names. But I think once I initiate contact, and this is just my honest sentiment on it, once I initiate contact, a person has a right to break my bones if they have to.
Okay. Hey. All right. Well, all right, guys. Should this trial have ever been brought to case? Let's go with Mike from Pennsylvania. And what say you on that?
Okay, I just like to address not the last caller, but the one before. What was his name?
Black Achievement.
Black Achievement. First of all, very good caller. He summed up the case very good. I have to disagree with him with the verdict. He said he thinks they're going to come out and they're not going to be a not guilty verdict within a couple hours. I just do not see it. If you saw George Zimmerman's lead attorney tonight, he was interviewed. It was either Fox News or CNN. He is scared to death of these lesser charges because he knows, and I'm feeling it too, no murder two. He's probably not going to be found guilty for that. But these lesser charges,
the way the judge is going to put it to them is that is what the prosecution is banking on. The question you just asked, should this case even be brought up? No. And that's the whole problem here. I don't want to sound like a conspirator theorist, but something weird's going on with this whole thing. There should have been no case. Why was, you know, the Trayvon Martin family all in one room listening, you know, to this recording? This Benjamin Crump, I don't know if you've ever looked up his history, but he has a history of going to high-profile cases, and that's how he and this other guy makes their money. So I smell a rat here, and I just don't see. I think he's going to be guilty of something. I don't think the jury has enough courage, for whatever reason, to come out and say not guilty within 2 hours. If they were to say not guilty, I could see it lasting all weekend, so at least they could say to everyone, well, we looked at everything to appease Trayvon Martin's family, but I don't see it. I smell a rat here from the beginning. The whole trial shouldn't have happened, but I think that just reinforces my thoughts more that Zimmerman's going to be guilty of something.
You know, I saw that, too, with the defense trial. Let's go to Skype Assholes. Let's go to you.
Well, he has some really valid points there, man. It should have never been brought forth to begin with, and I do smell a rat, right? Right time, right place, you know, to smell a rat.
Well, there's homeowners association money at stake.
Right, money. I mean, is that it? The money. And I agree with that one guy. These guys, if they lose, they're going to lose that money. And it's already been stuck in front of their faces, then dangled like a carrot.
He turned down the $1 million offer, right?
Right, already $1 million. Smelling money and rats, man. Because he should have been, I mean, you listen to the cop. All he says, yeah, I believe the guy, and we didn't charge him. Totally believe him. This is a veteran of our police force. Now, I'm thinking these black people that I'm hearing don't trust cops only when the cops are, like, convenient to trust, all right? Been hearing that a lot, too. And another one we've been hearing is that he didn't have any character witnesses. What 17-year-old on the planet Earth couldn't bring one of their buddies in as a character witness? I mean, somebody. There had to have been somebody out there that thought Trayvon was actually a nice guy other than his mom and dad. I mean, we didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, they had a parade of witnesses for Zimmerman, and they made Zimmerman sound like a saint, and I think he was. I think he was a genuinely nice guy.
Well, you call him a hero before.
Actually trying to do something in this community, trying to take a stand.
All right, gentlemen, let's go to
that ABM, lady from the news.
ABM Philly.
Yeah, respond to one black Jew. You know, a lot of people were talking since I last was on. But, you know, I guess he's under the impression that Trayvon Martin did attack him. You know what I'm saying? Well, according to the phone call, the sister, she was saying that he was being pursued by Zimmerman. As what the lady said, the news reporter said, you know, you could hear, you told the police told him not to pursue him. He did anyway. You know what I'm saying? So, he created that situation. Whether regardless or of what happened, you know what I'm saying? Like what the other guy was saying, I think Zimmerman is lying. I think the case was as Mike say, you know, conspiratorial, just based by all the people that they brought in to support Zimmerman. You know what I'm saying? You know, they creating that that's why I don't deal with those type of trials. You know what I'm saying? They're creating an atmosphere for their own agenda. Now, my position, and that's why I just kept it simple, Zimmerman is a coward for the simple fact that he had to shoot a 17-year-old boy. I mean, you know, that's the reason why he should get locked up, simply because he's a coward. You know what I'm saying? There's no way. And I'm going to allow, as what the lady said, you know, he isn't fully mature yet. He was a boy, you know what I'm saying?
How are you going to let? You weigh 100 more pounds than a boy. How are you going to let this boy get on top of you? I mean, the whole story is just, you know, sadly, it's a lie. And then you have these people supporting. At first, when you see the first case begin, you know what I'm saying, you had the one lady that she said she was looking at it, but she didn't see what was going on. You know, the one lady on the phone call, you know what I'm saying? You know, but now all of a sudden, people seeing him on top of him, and it's bullshit, you know what I'm saying? So my verdict, my personal verdict is that, you know what I'm saying, okay. And found this head, and you see, you don't see any marks, you know what I'm saying, indicating his story. Any mark that he was pounding his head, he had to scream, oh, he's like a little bitch, and, you know, he needs to be saved by somebody. Oh, help me, this little boy is on top of me trying to kill me. It's bullshit. Okay. I mean, and any person, and any, oh, this is my last statement. And that goes to show, you know what I'm saying, how white America views black people. Because, like, I would never say, if it was the other way around, I would never say that little white boy would deserve to get killed because he was a thug. He was a thug. He's just a bunch of cowards, man. I don't understand that shit.
Okay. Syndicated Ruthie, let's...
Yeah, definitely go to her pictures, the link that she sent me.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm not a coward. I didn't leave, even when the men were very angry with me and they were making very vocal statements against what I said. I have nothing to do with La Raza, and I am not an attorney. I'm a teacher by profession and a journalist by practice.
Okay.
And I don't say anything that I cannot back up with documentation. Always.
All right. Anything else to add?
Too many feet between the sidewalk and where his body was found. They're being quiet about that. They're also being quiet about THC traces. Why? Because Don West and O'Mara have already admitted that they were traces. They were so minimal that they didn't matter. If you're going to bring that in, then I have always insisted since day one, then let's bring in the temazepam and the Adderall. One is an upper, one is a downer. Both have to be prescribed by a psychiatrist because he's got ADHD. He cannot focus, number one, which is why he has gotten fired from every job he's ever held. Number two, the other one is for anxiety. If you don't have to provide a medical explanation as to your psychotropic drugs, which are prescribed by a psychiatrist, and you can still get a concealed carry weapons permit, then don't bother me with traces of THC. That's why they dropped it. Any
good
other
point,
questions?
Ruth.
Because I'll answer any questions. And things that I don't know, I'll tell you honestly, I don't know.
Very well.
But I have
Thank
followed
you very
the case
much.
Since February 27th, a day after it happened.
Thank you very much, Ruthie. BTG, you have anything to add?
Oh, I'm very impressed with you. I'm so glad you came on here. I don't subject her to the Skype assholes. Don't do that to her.
I'm not going to. But we could.
Thank you. I have a question for you. What do you think has been overlooked that has not been looked at? I mean, what would you like to see looked at more so? Did that make sense? It didn't make sense.
What would you like to see more looked at? What has been overlooked on the trial? You know what? I don't think of anything, Jewish producer, that has...
It would seem a pretty simple case. Not simple, it's complicated, but it seems like everything's on the... There's no mysteries or rocks that seem to have been left unturned. I think they covered everything. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think no rock has been unturned. I think we have another caller in queue. They say they're in queue, but I cannot see them.
Which one are you talking about, Debbie?
I think so.
All right, let me bring...
Is she in queue?
Yeah. With hand up.
Hang on.
Oh, shit. I didn't see. Okay. Hey, you have
finally,
any
she showed up. I asked
my
her.
Bad, damn it.
To come on the panel. She says yes. And now here she is, an hour and a half into our show.
Yeah.
Damn it, Debbie.
You want to put another half hour in there, JP?
We could do that.
All right, let's put another half hour on. Or maybe another hour. Okay. All right, Debbie, you have anything to add to this whole conversation here?
Guilty. Stalker. Guilty. Murdered. Horrible. Poor little kid. Period. What else?
All right. Anything else to add? Okay.
What else are you talking about, dear? I just got here.
We had some questions, and we're just going to go down the board. We put everybody, you know, we give everybody a chance to basically say their piece. And, yeah, so what's the next question, Jewish producer? And if you have anything else to add, Debbie, or anything that the syndicated columnist or, you know, whoever else. Did you hear the syndicated columnist?
I think she just got here. So yeah. You might have to. You might want to listen to how we're doing, and we're just going through the rows. It is a lot of waiting. So some people have hung up and called back and all that. So if you want to tough it out, go ahead. The question that we're working on now is this case positive proof that there's selective outrage in society? And we're basically just answering the questions and going through the list. Did you put her on hold?
Oh, I did. Well, why don't we ask her first since she was the last one? Is there selective outrage as far as the media is concerned? Why don't we'll go to Debbie Daly and then we'll just go up and down the row. All right, Debbie, selective outrage in this country?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Okay. Short little answer.
It's okay to answer like that. You have your opinion. You can explain it away, or you can answer it. Debbie's a straight shooter. Let's go to the next. What do you want to start at the top here with Black Achievement?
Let's go to Black Achievement. Yeah, selective outrage in this country.
I'm really the wrong person because I'm not really in tune with popular culture. I think it's just too dumbed down for me. But I will just add this. That the marijuana thing that the reporter was speaking of, listen, that would have been overkill. As I stated, nobody said any good things about Trayvon but his mother, okay? So why would you bring an expert witness in and pay all that money to it would have been overkill. It's unnecessary to do that. And furthermore, you've got to understand, this is a trial. It's not tried in the press and with the popular opinion, okay? This is a trial. Okay, in a court of law, and there's a reason why things about Zimmerman wasn't brought out, like his fight with the police officer or his domestic violence thing or whatever. Not that it was relevant, but listen, you can't add stuff against a defendant that would be prejudicial to the jury, okay? It's a trial. That's what you got to understand. That's why I say the case should never be brought, because the evidence was never collected. There was I've never heard of a toxicology report collected by the Sanford Police Department or CSI in Seminole County of George Zimmerman. He didn't do it. I don't know what drugs he was on. If they had it, they would have introduced it. It wasn't. I don't know. So you got to. This is America. We have a judicial system. You have to believe in it. And if the evidence isn't there, or there was some missteps by the police department, whatever. Hey, you can't just go out and charge a guy for second-degree murder. You know damn well you don't have it good. You just can't do it. Thank you. I'm finished, guys. I'll just listen. I appreciate it. It's the first time I called in. Interesting show. Great commentary. Great back and forth. I thank you guys for taking my call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Black Achievement.
Yes.
Is there selective outrage as far as the whole crime is concerned? There was a black man in Arizona who shot a Latino kid. There was a case here in L.A. where I live in Long Beach, the Bixby Knowles case, where three white girls got the you-know-what beaten out of them nearly to death. And hardly anybody even knows about it. But if the races were reversed, of course, the news would probably be, it would be all over the news. And these were about 40 to 30 individuals. But a lot of people heard about the Gen 6. They certainly heard about, who's that other guy who made that comment? But let's go to Mike and see if they have, if there is selective outrage in this country. Mike from Pennsylvania, what say you on that?
I'm going to give you a quick answer. I'm going to say yes, there is selective outrage. And there's another question that you brought up to the lady about what's one thing I wanted to see from the trial that I didn't. And it was George Zimmerman on the stand. Guys, I don't care about the listen, I don't care about the verdict, guilty or innocent. He should have had to go on the stand in front of Trayvon Martin's family and explain some of the things. I don't care about the legal system or not. That seems right to me. It seems fair to Trayvon Martin's family to at least get on that stand and answer some of the hard questions.
Well, you know, the same thing could have been said about O.J. Simpson could have explained something to his sisters and Ron Goldman's parents. I mean,
well, you're right. You're right. I'm just saying. I'm not talking legal system, court system or not. I just think he should explain. I think he wanted to explain. If you saw tonight, his lawyer said he wanted to, but his lawyer kind of held him back from it because the cross-examination could have really hurt their case. But that's the one thing I wanted to see that I didn't, is George Zimmerman on the stand.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a syndicated columnist said, you know, you cannot force someone to take the stand. That's our law. And a lot of people don't do that because they're going to look. You know, a lawyer can make you look foolish. Selective outrage in America. If you have, I know you guys are chomping at the bit to comment, and then we'll go to BTG.
Well, yeah, there is, and I want to know why these people can't believe the cops. When you have that lead detective there with all the information, he's privy to it all, more than even that woman was on here, Ruth, all right? And she thinks he's privy, but she really isn't. Why do they not believe the cop? Why? Why do they just never believe the cop? The guy come out and said, yes, I believe him. Now, isn't that enough? I mean, how about you, Fogg?
That was the lead detective, 9,000 9,000 cases.
Yep.
Right. I mean, 20 years of experience on the force. Aggressive interrogation techniques.
That's it. Why doesn't Debbie Daly believe the cops? I mean, is this bias that they have towards the cops? Built-in bias? The cops said, yeah, it's totally that's
how there is active outrage in this country. Right. If, you know, if Trayvon Martin was white, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
I mean, it was the right case. They caught on to the name. They screwed up, I think, when they saw he was half Hispanic, you know. It took them a couple of days to figure that out. I mean, they should be selectively outraged against the Hispanic community, too, in Florida, right?
You know? Very well. All right, gentlemen, mm-hmm. let's go to ABM Philly. Selective outrage in this country. Now, I recommend that whether you agree with it or not, there are two columns. Well, there's one column in a book called the column is called Censored Race War by Thomas Sowell about violent black flash mobs that the media doesn't necessarily cover. And it's in a lot of them have happened in Philadelphia. Selective outrage, ABM.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely selective outrage. You know, I mean, you're dealing with a very racialized country. From its very foundations, it's always been racialized. So, you know, a case like this is going to be, you know, highly publicized, you know. But, you know, the last caller, you know, I forget your name, Stacked Assholes. He keep on saying something about, you know, trusting the police. You know, once again, you know, it's a different reality in the black community because we don't trust the police. I mean, did we trust the police during the Rodney King beating? He's on record. They was beating the hell out of that man. They didn't have to beat the hell out of him like that. Racial profiling, when you look at the history of America, you know what I'm saying, those during the civil rights movement, those was police that was busting them, the nonviolent protesters upside the head.
and spraying them down with water holes. Those are the police that were doing that. So I don't give a damn about what police say. You know what I'm saying? We got to, take, and I don't believe in the criminal justice system. I don't believe in the court system either. It's all for the shit. You know what I'm saying? Right. The selective outrage. You know what I'm saying? Of course. Of course it's selective outrage. You know what I'm saying? Just like, you had the Sandy Hook shooting. I heard not one person call that white little boy a thug. I never heard that. You know what I'm saying? He would be more of a thug than me than Trayvon Martin. You mean to tell me that, even if he was guilty of all the shit that they were made up that he did. You know what I'm saying? Okay, he stole out of somebody's house. Okay, he wore gold teeth in his mouth. Like that was some type of big ass sin. You know what I'm saying? But I never heard it calling him a little white. Why is that? Why is that? It's thug the new nigga. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, if anybody would be a thug, it would be that white boy. You know what I'm saying? It would be that white boy that shot up little kids. He shot up little kids.
That's the worst thing you could do.
You know what I'm saying? That's the worst thing you could do is something to little kids. But nobody ever called him a thug.
Yeah, that's a good point. Syndicated columnist, is there selective outrage? Is there white guilt in the media? Since you do work in the media, do you see white guilt or selective outrage in the print media as well as the mainstream media?
I see it everywhere. I see tremendous amount of guilt. I see a tremendous amount of quiet hatred and disguised bigotry where they smile at your face and in their heads, they're using every expletive available. I do see tremendous bigotry in the mainstream media and in all media. I see it day to day.
But do you see selective outrage on what they cover, what they choose to cover, and what they don't?
Yes, because they become businesses, and those businesses have a great deal of debt. And when you have debt, you think and behave differently because you're not thinking about the quality of what you're writing, the veracity of your note-taking, whether or not you have 3 independent sources. You're thinking about making the rent. And because they have debt, their thinking process is very different.
Okay. Well, all right, Ruthie. All right, let's go to BTG, and then let's go to Black.
There we go.
We'll go to Black.
That's up, girl. Go ahead.
Yes.
Thank you.
Selective outrage.
Well, earlier, the Skype assholes talked about he doesn't understand why no one believes a police detective with so many years of service. We have to remember that Zimmerman's father is a judge, and so they have a certain degree of, respect for this man's father. And the father, Trayvon, they played this 911 tape. I'll get to it quickly. They played this tape 20 times, and he listened to this gunshot 20 times, and they kept on asking him, is this your son screaming help? Is this your son? And at one point, he said no underneath his breath. And this could have been a form of denial, like, no, this can't be happening. And they took this as a statement, like, no, this is not my son. And this was a weak no underneath his breath, and it was a form of denial. And people can spin underneath the breath statement however they want. You know, and I think it's all in the spin, and I would really like to hear what the reporter has to say on that. What is your take on equal justice as it's spun in the media?
Okay, that's a good point. And we will, that will be our next question. We're going to go to Black Jew, but equal justice. And that's a good point. But one of the things, I even forgot what I was going to say, so let's just go to Black Jew. Selective outrage in the mainstream media. Black Jew, do you have a comment?
Yes. There is selective outrage.
Okay. All right. What was the next question here, Jewish producer, that we had? Or do you have another? She said equal or equal justice, or is there equal, or equality of justice, or did you have a question in mind?
So we just finished asking everyone about selective outrage.
Yes.
So if whites and blacks think so differently on the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman trial, and is there any hope that racial lines will ever be erased?
Let's go to Debbie Daly on that. We'll ask her the first questions, and then we'll go down the thing.
Yeah, I hope that makes sense. We'll ask it again if it didn't.
Yeah.
Not in this country, huh, Snake? And I also want to say that George Zimmerman's uncle is a magistrate. A magistrate is nothing more than an attorney that has to do his time by setting bonds. That's all a magistrate is. And I do believe that the audio engineer that went through the tape, and we went through this on my show forever, but he concluded that it was, in fact, Trayvon Martin screaming help, because if you remember, they had that George Zimmerman out there screaming help to compare the two spectrums, the audio spectrum, which is a fingerprint of your voice. And as far as whites and blacks, not in this country. This country is one of the only countries that has these kind of problems, because in Germany, there's Germans. In Italy, there's Italians. I mean, it's just this country, there's not a set race, color in this country. It's whose land is this? I mean, am I American because I'm blonde hair and blue eyes? Are you? I mean, who's American here? I mean,
you know, Debbie, Dennis Prager said something interesting. He said, all other nations, and I could be wrong on this. This is what Dennis Prager said. All other America's unique because it's based on ideals. All other nations were based on ethnicity. You're right. But can all Americans live up to the same ideals?
Hell no. Because, I mean, I've said it before in my crazy head. I think the best thing to do would be to let some of these states pull out on their own and run it by themselves. I mean, I'm tired. I'm not making a lot of sense, but you know what I mean. So
very well.
You know what I'm saying, right. Though. I know what I'm trying to say. Okay.
You know what? I've just noticed that we have a lot of callers in queue. We might, Jewish producer, I think we might want to go another half an hour on this puppy, just because I didn't notice how many callers are on queue. We have high.
We still have 30 minutes. Let's just keep moving, okay?
High speed hotspots. Did you hear the question, or do you have a comment to make? We're just going to go down the line of people who haven't spoken. High speed hotspots.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I actually went off on a tangent because in the chat, you know, so I don't know. There's two things I want to bring up now. But firstly, why don't they, the defense particularly, the prosecution, because it seems like it's the opposite, but the prosecution, focus more on the fact that guy in hoodie walking down sidewalk, okay, gets confronted by individual packing heat, and then certain things occur from there. In other words, was he stopped? Was he interrupted? Was he halted? Was he accosted? And, you know, who's defending himself from who? Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, you know, if a police officer pulls you over without probable cause or reasonable suspicion and you say, am I free to leave? And you do, you're free to leave and walk. In other words, at which point was he stopped, detained, or questioned for no reasonable – what's the reasonable suspicion? What's the probable cause? That I'm a black kid in a hoodie?
He didn't question him. He's following him.
So how did it occur? He was told by 911 to stay in the car. He didn't. Okay. What occurred at the point where he halted him, stopped him, detained him, held him?
What evidence is that? Wait, high speed hotspot. What evidence do you have that he didn't, that he confronted him?
Oh, so in other words, he was in his car. The evidence is he was in his car.
He went out of his car to follow him, but he didn't say that he confronted him. There's no evidence of that, or at least there is no evidence of that.
So he followed him, and he followed him at what distance? And at what happened? Do you think that he was following him, and then Trayvon Martin turned around and accosted him? Let me turn it back around. What evidence is there that Trayvon Martin turned around and accosted him?
Zimmerman's story, and you know what? I mean,
Zimmerman's story.
But that's
hearsay evidence. So it's hearsay then. Hearsay.
But isn't that reasonable doubt? I mean, if you have no concrete evidence, isn't that reasonable doubt?
No, not at all. What do you mean, is it reasonable doubt? Yeah, okay, the burden of proof relies on the fact that he would have to have had reasonable suspicion or probable cause in order to be approaching him with the gun. Right?
Yeah, you know what? I'm starting to lose it too. Jewish producer, do you have anything to add?
I'm just going to say, with our panel tonight, this might be the most thorough, best all around update and newsworthy coverage of the Zimmerman. This whole stupid trial. I think this is probably the best I've heard. I'm not just saying that because it's my show, our show here. I think it's we've got lucky with some good callers, good opinions.
Yes. High speed, I'm going to let you go just because I got other callers who haven't even been on yet.
Let's keep going. Good job.
281, your hand is up. What say you? Any comment to make that you've heard?
Like Zimmerman, do you guys think that this was racial? Like he did it because Trayvon Martin was black and not white?
There's no evidence to point that. Anything else? And it also points out that he had black friends. He tutored black kids. He was looking at him because he was black. But, all right, we got a lot of other callers to go to. Let's see, because some people have been going patiently. Let's go up the board now.
Let's slow down for a second here. We're going to take it back to the top of the board, but what should we ask them? Should we move on to this next question? Or?
Well, we haven't gone all the way. What was the question that we asked?
Okay, so let's ask the question again. All right.
If
blacks and whites think so differently on this particular case, is there hope that racial lines will ever just be completely erased?
Or at least somewhat better. I mean,
or at least a common thread be found.
Yes. Like, or at least maybe 30%, not 90, 90-90 to both sides. Mike from Pennsylvania.
Well, I'll tell you how we could come together, and it's very difficult. How about if we had a threat from another nation, from Russia, from China, North Korea? It would take a major event. Our whole country in jeopardy, where we have to fight together. In that case, in an instant like that, I could see all races in our country getting together. But other than a major event, it's going to be very difficult.
That brings up a good point. And I just want to remind everybody, and I'm thinking about having a show on this, July 28th. 1948, Harry Truman signed the executive order to integrate the military. And,
that's coming up. We do have that show programmed and ready for the 28th.
Absolutely, and I hope people will be joining. Skype assholes, did you remember the question, or do you have to be repeated it?
Yeah, I do. Here's how we'll prove that. Put us and open the mic up of that guy from Colorado, the black guy. And see if we can get along.
He has left.
How about the other black guy didn't want to hear about the cops? Which one was he?
You know what? Should we give that to him?
That's the one that keeps saying Trayvon was a little kid.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. We've all seen 17-year-olds that can hurt you. Well, throw him in there. We'll see if we can get along. All right.
You know what? Well, normally I would, but I'll just tell you this right now, this show, we have so many callers right now that I want to get to everybody fairly.
Okay, let us answer the race relations. Yeah, we probably can get through this. We have to, because if there's riots, there's going to be a real bad taste left in everybody's mouth for a few years, all right? It'll knock them back like all this stuff does. But, yeah, if there's riots and stuff, I say about 5 or 10 years down the road, we might start peace process with them again. Sort of like the Palestinians in Israel, you know?
I wonder if anybody's actually looking forward to the riots.
Right.
Ask your
callers that one. Are they looking forward to the riots on our new big screen TVs? Are they going to back
somehow
the riots?
That question isn't on our list.
Sitting down with some Orville Redenbacher popcorn and a new SodaStream machine and 70-inch plasma. Yeah, it's going to be good fun. I mean, it'll be terrible. It'll be terrible.
Terrible, terrible.
All right, guys, I gotta go to...
Guys, when we can hear Debbie Daly laughing, and we know it's time to put you on hold.
Yes. All right. ABM Philly.
Yeah, what was the question again?
Do you think that... Jewish producer, can you answer the question again?
The race relations.
Ask the question again. Yeah.
Was
it the race relations? Okay. Race relations, right?
Yeah. If whites and blacks think so differently on this case, is there any hope that we could find some kind of middle ground, a common thread, where we don't have to walk on eggshells so much?
I mean, this is the best it's going to get, I mean, as far as race relations. I mean, you know, I don't really see an issue with race relations.
This is the best it's
going to get? We just talk a lot of shit to each other. You know what I'm saying? It's not really a problem with race relations. I mean, you know, we work together just about every day, you know, for the most part, you know. So we just talk a lot of shit. You know what I'm saying? We go fight in wars together. These are my race relations. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, in order to get, rid of this shit talking, I think that it would have to be a lot of shit got to be restructured. But if a lot of shit get restructured, then America will not be the same. And white America is not ready for that.
Okay. Let's go to syndicated column. Ruthie,
yes.
I'm sorry. Yes, I did.
I'm here. Okay.
Yes.
We have to look at history. When you look at the ancient civilizations, they held hatreds for centuries. The United States is only 400 years old. You can't expect that all of a sudden we're all going to get together. As soon as one race settles in, they immediately want to lock the door for the ones that are coming in behind them. Look at the Irish. They came in, they became cops, they took over the fire departments, and then they didn't want to let the Hispanics that were coming in behind them. Then we've got the wave of Hispanics. They came in, they got the same jobs, firemen, started working at the banks, police officers, what do? They're locking the door for the Cubans coming in behind them. It happens one group after another. This is normal. We're too young a country yet to all of a sudden wake up one day and we're all friends. It's not going to happen. Don't forget that to begin with, the Europeans came to Canada and the United States, killed the Native Americans, and took over the real estate. It's as simple as that. So when you come in stealing to begin with, you can't say, you know, who's American? It's not the blue-eyed blonde. Trust me, those are the Europeans. The Native Americans had all of this continent here, and they just kept fighting until they got more and more of it. Look at Mexico. They just kept taking over. Texas used to be from Mexico. They took that, too. It's just the way of the world. And now we can't, all of a sudden, overnight, change all that. You're not going to fix race relations overnight. There's still too much bigotry and too much fear. Fear is what breeds the hatred. It's just fear. Fear of the unknown. You don't know another race. You don't know their style. You don't know how they speak. They have other languages, and it makes the typical person frightened of anything new and different. That hasn't changed. You know, melting pot, let's all get along. It's too soon. We're too young a country for that to happen.
Thank you very much, Ruthie. Now, with Ruthie, and if she ever wants to comment on this, because she talked about the Native Americans, and I have Michael Medved's The 10 Big Lies About America, and Big Lie, and I don't know if this is number one or number two, America was founded on genocide against Native Americans. Believing this big lie requires ignoring huge sections of historical record, accepting the pernicious myth that white settlers proved uniquely barbaric, and embracing a romanticized, frankly preposterous image of indigenous people. You know what? I would like, you know what? I'll just have Ruthie, do you have any comment on that I just made?
Yes, of course. It's not a lie. It's just history. It's the same in Europe. It was the same in Asia. One group would take over the land of the other, kill the people. You like the real estate? Well, first you got to get rid of the people. It happens throughout the planet Earth. It's not going to change. It's still going on in Africa right now.
With Native Americans, wasn't there a lot of intermarriage with the Native Americans, and they encouraged intermarriage?
Not as much as there was killing. There was a lot more killing than there was intermarriage. What they did was they would have sex with them, and they would own them like slaves, but no, there wasn't intermarriage as you and I would know it. In fact, they would take these Native women, have sex with them, leave them in their homes, cleaning and raising kids, and they would go to town and meet with their white compatriots, and they would go and enjoy church. They didn't usually take these women with them, no. They used them more or less like property. I said, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm not giving you anything new. This is American history. You don't have to believe me. Go to your local library and look up American history, and that's really what happened. And it happens all over the world. Right now it's happening in Africa.
Okay. I'd love to debate you on this issue, Ruthie. I don't have enough time. There are a lot of people who beg to differ with that view. Did we go down the panel, JP?
I'm not sure. It seems like you're skipping around, so it's hard.
I'm trying not to.
Let's move on to the next question. I think we went through everybody.
Okay.
Except for that 443. Did you talk to 443?
No, I haven't talked to 443. Do you have any comment to make so far? Because we're getting new callers with their hand up all the time. Yes.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing all right.
Hey, my name's Taylor. I'm from Baltimore. And I guess a quick answer to, both the questions as far as the case and as far as race relations as it deals with today. Now, as far as race relations and today and how far we can advance, I'm only 25, but the way I see it is basically – it's inevitable that we all kind of come together for two reasons. One, we're in a world where we're all interconnected with the internet and media outlets. Social media outlets as far as Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, such so forth and so on. I'm a black dude from Baltimore, and I can talk to a chick from Slovakia, and me and her can build a relationship, and we can come on some kind of ground. And as far as like just primarily America, we're all fucking, like it's not the same as like the 50s or the 60s, and we've made advances. Like we're all interconnected. Like it's inevitable that we come together in some sort of manner, and that's just what humans do. Now I kind of do agree with the previous caller. I'm not too sure of her name, but that initial fear and not knowing of other people's culture, or just that fear of the unknown, divides us. But this thing that we have going on today connects us, so we're going to be building together. And as far as like the Trayvon Martin case, now is race issue in the case? Yes, but I think race is one of the issues in this case, and it builds on other issues within his case, to where as though why I think he's guilty of murdering an innocent kid, but I think he's going to be found innocent because of the law and the Stand Your Ground law in Florida states that he can do things like that. He can pursue somebody and they get into an altercation and he can shoot him, and he is guarded by the state law. That is self-defense with the issues of this, regards to the what goes on with that state law. So he can go on and shoot someone like that, and in that manner, and he's innocent, and that's self-defense. Now that it points to race, because he stalked this young African-American male for no reason, and he killed him. He can be defined innocent, and then so that's the race part, because he stalked him because he was black. And then the second part of it is, why is this legal for him to do that? So, yeah, quick thoughts, I guess.
All right. I don't know if she answered, they answered the question. Jewish producer, do you have another question, or do you want me to bring up a question, do you have another question?
I sure do.
Okay.
All right. The next question I'd like everyone to answer is, to what extreme should a person be allowed to defend him or herself?
All right. Yeah, and if a person doesn't want to fight and that person pursues him, does that person have the right to do whatever means are necessary to stop that attack? Bathtub Girl, what say you on that issue? Or do you have it, and if you have another issue to bring up?
I'm sorry, I was writing at the time. Say that question one more time.
The right to self-defense. What right does a person have to defend themselves? Like, say, if you're a person who doesn't want to fight this other person, and this person attacks you,
if you're in true
right?
mortal danger, I believe you have the right to defend yourself with with deadly force. If it's over money, like in Texas, where that man shot a prostitute that was stealing away with his $140, I do not believe you have the right to shoot someone that's stealing away with your money. But if you're in true fear for your life, I believe that you have the right to defend yourself.
I just want to disagree with everything.
That prostitute was wrong. I'm kidding. Okay. Jesus Christ. All right. Black Jew, what right, the right to self-defense. Do you have the right, if you don't want to fight somebody and someone attacks you, do you have the right to defend yourself by any means necessary, including a firearm? Black Jew, what say you?
Well, my mother was pretty radical, so according to her, yes. But I think that according to the law, if I'm correct, I mean, it's equal force. I guess that's the issue is.
Well, equal force, that's true. But what are your personal feelings? Should a person have the right to defend themselves? Like, say this person, you don't want to fight this person, and they're coming at you, and they won't stop, and you don't want to fight. And this person may be either a better skilled fighter, or bigger or stronger than you, and you really don't want to go to tangle with this person. Do you have the right to use a firearm to fend off a physical attack?
Oh gosh, I think this is the heart of the whole subject here, because. I say yes and no, because if someone's attacking me, I don't know what they may do. They may not get the upper hand on me right at the moment, but they may poke my eye out or something. I don't know what may happen. So it really depends. I think I had mentioned before that at least in the state, they had a make my day law if the person was in the house. I'm just using this as an example. I think that's fair. Maybe, again, that's deviating away from
I guess the main point here, but I guess I'm trying to pull it together and saying, like, okay, if somebody comes in my house and attacks me, yes, I should be able to pow, shoot them in the head. Out on the street, I guess, I'm just being honest here. I think that Zimmerman will be found not guilty.
Well, if he does,
I think it's kind of a travesty.
Yeah. Well, Black Jew, let's okay. All right. We got it. I'm sorry, Black Jew. We got to go to other callers. Baltimore, because you haven't Baltimore. The right to defend yourself. If you don't want to fight someone and they're attacking you and you have a firearm in your possession, do you have the right to use that?
No. I think we can reference back to Black Jew. It is such thing as equal force, and it all depends upon the circumstances. Now, if someone's attacking me and I have a firearm, I'm going to say 9.9 times out of 10, if I show my firearm, that person is going to back down because I don't.
You're probably right.
I don't care where you grew up. If you see a gun, you're going to be like, whoa, let's reassert this situation, what's going on right now, because he has a firearm. Now, as far as, like, the Trayvon Martin case, I feel as though George Zimmerman pursued him, and them two got into an altercation, and he got his ass whooped, and he pulled the gun and shot the kid. That's not equal force, and that's injustice. Quite frankly, he follow him. But if, like, say, I'm about to, or some guy is pursuing me, say I'm like 5'5", and that guy's like 6'8", right? And if that guy punks me and he shows that I do not want to defend myself in a physical altercation, right? He shows that, he demonstrates that, he bitches me, quite frankly, and then I go get a gun and shoot him, that's like not equal force, and that shouldn't be defined as, you know, self-defense. So it depends upon the situation a lot of the times, but equal force should be demonstrated. So if we're me and another guy are fighting, that's what we should be doing. We should be fighting. But if me and another guy are fighting and one of us gets a gun because he feels like he's losing the battle, that's not equal force. That's not self-defense because you punked out and got a gun. I'm from Baltimore. If you get your ass whipped, you get your ass whipped. That's just what happens. It's not if you get your ass whipped. It's about you defending yourself. You're willing to defend yourself and how you come back from whatever happened to you.
All right. 661, we haven't gotten you yet. Anything to add or state here, 661?
Yes, I'd like to agree with the gentleman from Baltimore. And it seems to me that Zimmerman aggressively agitated the entire situation, and therefore he knew he had a firearm, and he knew that he had a deadly force in the event that something did go wrong. He never should have pursued the child at all, and the entire situation wouldn't have even evolved.
Okay. What's your name, by the way? Because when I call you, I'll know your name. What name do you want to go by?
Cynthia.
Cynthia, okay. Just putting this in the thing. All right, let's go to High Speed Hotspot. High Speed Hotspot. The right to defend yourself. Should there be... Like, if you don't want to fight someone and someone attacks you or wants to fight and you don't want to fight, should you be able to use a firearm? Debbie Daly, same question. Did you hear it?
I guess I'd like to respond for High Speed Hotspot. I'm sorry, I'm joking.
Right.
I'm in a scap chat. Just skip me right now. I'm sorry. I don't want to take up any more of your time, my love.
No, answer.
Stop
it. To what extreme should a person be allowed to defend him or herself?
This is the way I feel about it, okay? If you really want to know, if you come at me, shut up. If you come at me, and this is the way my father always said it, if you hit me first, and you knock me down, you just be ready when I get up, because then it's my turn. And it's not for us to judge what's fair and what's not fair, because you don't know. I mean, if Jewish producer came at me and started beating the crap out of me, how do I not know he's not going to kill me? I'm going to take my gun, which I'm licensed to carry, out of my bag, and I'm going to shoot him in the chest. Sorry.
Come
at me, bro.
All right, before things get too heated, let's go to syndicated. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting some of these names. Let's go to Ruthie, syndicated columnist from Florida. The right to defend yourself. If you don't want to fight and someone is attacking you, do you have the right to use a firearm, deadly force? Ruthie.
This was a kid that was walking in the dark. The light bulbs there are 40 watts. And the kid was walking under 40 watt bulbs. You really can't see in that backyard. This is not George Zimmerman's first rodeo. He's been in trouble, not only with neighbors and other people. He's been in trouble with the law. His father seals the records. Now, they conveniently say, oh, but he's never had a felony attached to his name. That's true, only because he took the diversionary program, which allowed him to do whatever they wanted, like community help or go sweep some church or whatever, and then he didn't get the felony stuck with him. In fact, the last time he was in this kind of trouble, by the time the judge asked him to come in so that they could look at what he had done to answer for his diversionary program, he hadn't even finished it. And then he wanted his father to cover up for him. His father has always sealed his records. That's the only reason he doesn't have a felony. But he's been in trouble before. He doesn't fight fair. He does not fight fair. Notice that he had a gun on him. He knew it. And he's chasing some kid with a bag of candy. He doesn't do it with men. He always does it with women and men he thinks he can take. The only reason he wound up fighting with the ATF is because he was being a big shot. They were arresting his friend for serving liquor at a bar to minors. They had already confirmed and corroborated this before they threw the cuffs on the bartender. Big shot George has to go and kick ass because he's going to be the big man in town and show them what for. He didn't realize they were ATF officers. They identified themselves. He still would not accept it because he knows that after the fight, he goes home, Dada will seal his records for him, and he's used to it. He's grown up with a sense of entitlement.
All right, Ruthie, let's go to Philly, and then we'll go to the Skype assholes. The right to, now, that dealt with George Zimmerman. I'm talking about the right to self-defense. Someone approaches you, and you don't want to fight them. Do you have the right to use whatever means are necessary to defend yourself? ABM Philly.
No, I can't. You know, a person, you know, try to, you know, fight me, even though I don't want to fight. That means I have to fight. You know what I'm saying? That gives me a justification to shoot the person? No. Can't just shoot a person just because they want to fight you. I mean, it's plenty of bar fights that happens all the time. You don't see them going and getting no gun in. You know what I'm saying? That's coward. That's just being a coward. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that has absolutely nothing to do with the Zimmerman case, because if he didn't want to fight, he shouldn't have got his ass out the car. When the cops told him, don't pursue him, if not wanting to fight was on his mind, along with the cops telling him not to pursue him, then he shouldn't have pursued him. No, he pursued him because, like what the lady said, you know what I'm saying, is that he wanted the confrontation. You know what I'm saying? How is it that the cops tell you, I don't even know why you asked that question. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not, you can't apply it to this case. You know what I'm saying? He got a gun. He know he got a gun. The cops tell him not to pursue him. He want to do it anyway. Why? Because he has a gun. Why? Because he's a bitch. You know, it was a 17-year-old kid. You know what I'm saying? And he knew that he could get a justifiable kill on a little boy, you know what I'm saying, and get away with that shit. Because he's a bitch. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I'm saying, even if the case was that
Trayvon Martin attacked him. You mean to tell me you can sling that little boy on the ground or just detain him? You can just hold him? Yeah, look how bigger he is than the little boy. Like, you can just put your arms around him to detain him and then scream for help. You got to pull out a gun to shoot him. But it all makes sense because that's what he was thinking from the get-go when he got his ass out the car after the police told him not to.
Yeah, if that was me walking through that condominium complex and that exact same thing happened to me, of course I had the right to defend myself, shoot that kid. Absolutely.
Well,
how about you?
So what if some dude is coming at you and you don't want to fight the guy? You know,
he starts pounding upon you, and the last thing you know is you have a gun, and you're getting knocked out, and he's going for your gun. I'm assuming you have the right to use it, right? I mean, like
yeah,
Zimmerman,
I mean,
he was...
Just what if the guy is an amateur boxer or a really big, strong guy, and he's coming at you?
But Trayvon was just a sweet little boy. Trayvon was just a sweet little... six feet tall little man, little boy, little child.
It comes down to really simply is, are you afraid for your life? If you're in a precarious position, you do that. Now, for an example, I had a concealed carry. I walked the street and so on and so forth. You come up to me, and you even look like you're going to be aggressive and so on and so forth. I'm going to have to shoot you. Okay, I'm not taking a chance on you hitting me and so on and so forth because of my age, my physical condition. So I feel justified and warranted at that point. If you state that you're going to hurt me, if you act in any way that looks like it's precarious to me, I'm going to do what I have to do to survive.
Well, now, in my opinion, I believe that race relations is the base cause of global warming.
All right, guys. Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to go to you first.
Wait. Hold on. Hold on a second here. We do have Hotspot back in the mix. He has he wants to answer this question. Let's put him on.
All right. Hi.
There, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. What question?
Well, so the question is, do you have the right? Okay. What do you think? The right to self-defense.
Yes, absolutely, you have the right to self-defense. But unlike this other gentleman that spoke about, if you even look at me wrong, I'm going to shoot you.
If someone comes at you physically and they only have their hands and feet, you have the right to stop that person. If you don't want to fight, you have the right to stop that person with a firearm.
If I feel that my life is threatened, of course. However, it's a matter I was a police officer for 8 years, and you have there. It just makes no sense to me that he would get that close. And if he feels his life was threatened, I mean, how did that happen? How did it occur? It's what's known as the fruit of the poisonous tree theory. Okay, where look, if something occurred that caused Trayvon Martin to react the way, you know, if somebody's following you, coming up to you, accosting you, stopping you, and what if Trayvon Martin felt threatened? Okay, and Trayvon Martin didn't have a gun, and he felt threatened. Let me turn it around. Do you have a right if somebody comes up to you, accosts you, threatens you, impedes you? Do you have a right to shove that person off, push that person down, try to stop him from what he was doing with your hands and your body and your strength?
Yes, you do.
Of course you do. It's the same thing.
Okay. Like I said, Hotspot, I don't see any evidence
How do you not see any evidence that that was the case? Because he got the best of George?
No, because did anyone see the initial confrontation?
Exactly. Except that one person got shot.
But if nobody saw the initial confrontation, but High Speed Hotspot, if nobody saw the initial confrontation, how can you make and then they have other cops too who believe George Zimmerman's story.
And I, you know what, I agree with you. I completely agree with you. Okay, and if George Zimmerman gets off of this, Okay, I completely agree with you. Okay, except that that's not at all anything about what some of these jackasses and these people who are, oh, if somebody came up to me and looked at me wrong and I had a gun, I'd shoot him. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? That's not how it works. And you're absolutely correct in what you're saying, but that's not the argument that you hear on any news channel, on anything that we've been discussing tonight, on anything that's been talked about tonight. It's all about Georgie and his gun and his right to be able to use that gun, okay, if he felt his life was threatened. Okay, but what about Trayvon's right to if somebody was aggressing him? I mean, here's a kid walking down the street with a hoodie, a black kid, and who was told to stay in the car when he called 911. The things that he said, you know, about the punks and these punks and this and that. What probable cause or reasonable suspicion did George have to go up there and to do that and to confront that? And to impede, and the question would become, okay, the forensic evidence is the only thing that you can go by, which has to do with what happened, how close were they, how did it happen, okay, was there an altercation previous to that, what did George do previous to that, and what the coroner said about how the gun was positioned, where things were at, where they were, where the body was. From as in comparison to where George was when his head was hit into the ground with his scratches in his head, okay, that's the only thing that really can go by, because you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct that now all you can rely on is the forensic evidence, because you have no eyewitness or no things that show exactly what occurred at that particular point in time. But that is not the argument that's been going on the news media, on this show, on anywhere out there. Okay, it's all about George and his ability to use of force, okay, to protect himself versus Trayvon Martin being a thug.
Okay, let's go to BTG if she has any comment to make, anything to add to the conversation. Let's keep it short, guys, like 2 to 3 minutes, guys. Actually, 2 minutes. BTG.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the evidence, and he's dead, and it's unlawful killing of him, and he never got the chance. And let's think about that. You got this creepy guy following him, and if I was walking, trying to walk home, I would not want a stalker to find out where I lived or where I was going. So he confronted the creepy guy. He had every right to confront whoever it was that was stalking him. Can you think of it that way? And it went wrong because he didn't know Zimmerman had a gun. He did not know. What do you think about it from that angle?
Okay, you know what? I don't have time to answer any questions because I want to get to all the callers. 925, anything to add to the conversation? Let's go to Black Jew. Real quick, anything
Hello?
To add? Yes, Black Jew.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Jewish producer. I think you should open it up so we could even debate against each other, you know, among each other if necessary.
Well, it is starting to fall apart, we're noticing here. So maybe we'll give it another 5 minutes, and if we don't get any more form out of this, then we may as well just break it down and have a free form for those last few minutes. So,
well, yes, maybe, yes, well, okay. If producer wants to have free form, but
we have a lot of people listening, so we do want to make sure we stick. Because once we do that, it really becomes unlistenable, and we don't want to scare off.
I want, you know what, we've done that all the time. Sure. I want to keep this listenable.
Yeah.
Debbie Daly, do you have anything to add?
Did we try six?
All right, let's do this. Let's have this question. Has the civil rights movement, and I'm going to go with syndicated columnist first, just because she sounds the best, even though I think she's a little bit more, she's pretty liberal.
Well, wait, but, if I can, I can ask you a quick question. We can also throw this as an A-side to the question you're going to ask.
Yes.
If there was a movie about George Zimmerman's life, who would be the best person to play the role of George Zimmerman?
Okay, I'm going to say Goofy Bone would be a great George Zimmerman.
He'd be perfect.
I'm going to ask Debbie Daly on that one. She better answer. Debbie, Who would play? Could Goofy Bone play a great George Zimmerman? All right, let's go with syndicated columnist. I've been saying a long time, and I'm just going to put myself out there. I'm fairly conservative on the civil rights issue. Has the civil rights movement been perverted by leftists and by race haters? It seems, and is there any noble thing that the civil rights movement has done, say, in the past 40 years? Syndicated columnist, do you have anything to add to that?
Yes, but as you know, I'm very much middle of the road. But when it comes to this topic, some of your people are not going to hate the fact that I'm not liberal there. I'm very conservative. I'm very upset over the status that President Obama has given himself by extending FISA. Most people don't even know what that is. FISA is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And he extended it 5 years. And then for the first time in American history, he gave himself, his wife, and his two children Secret Service protection for life until the day they die. That's never happened in the United States, ever. Between those two, by extending FISA and giving himself Secret Service protection for life, he has changed his status from president to king. And most Americans don't even realize it.
Now, do you believe that this, because, you know, the beginning of the civil rights movement was to be part of America, it seemed like to me anyway, in the 50s and, you know, throughout the beginning of the 60s. And then it seemed to perverse into being against America or everything is wrong with America. Do you see anything like that as someone who's probably covered maybe even the civil rights movement in the beginning and stuff?
I didn't cover the civil rights movement because I was 10 years old in 63.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember it, and I remember being very frightened of the fact that people could actually stick dogs on human beings and set fire to them and hang them from trees. That terrified me, and I asked my family, why did we come to this country? This is terrifying, the way they treat each other. And I realized that there was a tremendous racial divide here that I hadn't seen in Europe and I hadn't seen in Latin America or Asia. But it does exist, and it's here, and you have to work your way around it. But go ahead. So we don't have any gripe with the U.S., and we don't come here looking for any handouts. We come here to work very hard. We bring our own money. And we don't come looking for any favors. We come here, we start our own businesses, and we fund them ourselves. So we worked, I'd say, 16 hours out of every 24-hour day, and my parents did not celebrate weekends. They worked Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday. That's just the way it always was where I grew up, and it's the same way it is today.
Now,
I'm covering
this trial,
but it's from 8 a.m. to 8 at night.
Now, I just remember hearing the talk among other Latin Americans. They said that the Argentinians were snobs. Is that the consensus you get with other Latin Americans
actually, I'll tell you, when I speak around people from other countries, I actually don't use Castilian because I don't want them to think I'm being uppity. I use Continental Spanish, which is something they're more used to. It's softer, it's more mainstream, and it doesn't upset them. When I use Castilian Spanish, they think I'm being uppity, so I don't use it around people who don't speak it. If I'm around my relatives or people from Spain or Uruguay or Paraguay or places where Castilian is spoken, of course, in Chile, then I use it, but I don't use it around people who don't regularly speak, because if they don't speak Castilian, then I just speak continental, plain, quiet Spanish.
I don't know, because Argentina is close to Brazil, and they have a large black population over there. Do they have the same kind of racial problems in Brazil as, and I don't know if you know this or not, do they have the same kind of...
Absolutely. And understand, again, we have to, and I beg people, please study history. I was a teacher by profession, and I beg people, please
study history so that you don't repeat the same mistakes. Brazil was the number one stop where Europeans would go to Africa, pick up slaves, and the first stop, the first, it was called a depot, was Brazil. That's where the majority of slaves were dumped when the ships came in. Now, the reason they were dumped there was to then cull who was healthy and who was still alive and was not diseased. They would lose a third of the slaves from the time they brought them from Africa, from the Ivory Coast, bring them here to Brazil, basically. That was the first stop. Jamaica was another stop. But by the time the ships came in, then they had to cull who was sick in a way that would be infectious because, they would infect the other slaves and they would separate them that way. The same way you separate sick people in a hospital, the same way they did it in a more elegant fashion on Ellis Island, but it was the same thing. They were separating people who had pneumonia and typhus and all sorts of other communicable diseases. The difference was they were being brought chained at the bottom of a boat with all the normal bodily wastes, and they were living in that filth all the way to, like I said, the first depot stop for slavery was Brazil. And by the way, the language there is Portuguese. It's not Spanish.
And I know that, yes. That I know.
That's where they would cull
them.
Like culling, I mean, just like you do on a farm, you take the healthy from the sick. And then they would take those, put them on another ship, and then they would bring them into Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina.
I was just mentioning that Argentina is, you know, right next to Brazil. And, you know, a lot of, I know a lot of Argentinians who will, like, go to the beaches up there. I have a friend from Florianopolis who said the Argentinians would always go up there. Just, anyway. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I didn't get upset. I just explained how that all happened. But please, I ask everyone, study history so that you don't keep repeating it. We'll keep repeating
right.
the same mistake. We will keep repeating the same mistakes if we don't study history. And I beg you, study math. I can't tell you how embarrassing it is that the United States has not been able to compete in science or mathematics for 27 years now on a world level because we come in too low on the competition. That's embarrassing.
Well, you know, Catholic schools for a long time used to be a lot cheaper. And that's where we would, you know, where a lot of people got a far better education than our public school system.
And then they became businesses. Then they became businesses and they became liabilities for the business that runs them, the Vatican, which is an incorporation.
Because you sound like someone who was Catholic school educated, if I may be so bold as to... say that, and I could be absolutely.
No, I wasn't, but thank you. I wasn't. I didn't go to Catholic school. I did go to private school, but not Catholic school. But I thank you.
But you went
Catholic
to private school.
Schools have. Well, sorry, I don't want to apologize for that either.
You shouldn't have to.
You shouldn't have to. But what is your opinion on school vouchers?
It's education. We're back to education. May I tell you let me tell you a secret that's going to embarrass us all.
Okay.
In the 1930s and 40s, we used to have a program called Separate but Equal. And that's when you had a regular Caucasian child on a regular academic track going from first grade to second grade to third grade. And at each advancement, the book, which was called a primer, the reading book where they learned how to read, the syllabus was moved forward to the next level. As the child passed it, learned that material, they would go on to the next grade. In the 1970s, they invented this wonderful thing. And don't cut me off before you hear me. Let me explain this to you because I can explain it in 2 minutes. They came up with this thing called bilingual ed, and I began to study to see what it was. I wanted to know what it was because the schools were expecting me to teach it, and I realized that if I took the name off with a black magic marker of bilingual ed and removed it completely so that a person reading the syllabus couldn't tell what program it was. When I distributed that material to teachers from California to New York, from Detroit to Texas, 100% of them gave it back to me with the name of the program they thought it was. And you know what they called it? They thought it was separate but equal, because it's exactly the same thing. And blacks were smart enough to go to the Supreme Court and get out of that crap and be afforded the same level education, and Hispanics fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And this bilingual ed is nothing other than a regular way to teach people how to clean toilets. If you want to keep an ethnic group down, start with their children. Don't educate them. Put them in bilingual ed. That's the best way to make a kid fail.
How about special education? Put them there, too.
There we go. There's the secret. Do you know that the same tag used to identify a child in bilingual ed is the same tag used to identify a child who's in remedial programs? Because when the kid, they say, oh, I just want Juanito drop out of school on seventh grade. I'll tell you why. Because by law, seventh grade is when they have to legally inform the parent that the child has never received credit for the time they've been in school. That's when they let the kid know that they were in a remedial program for which they get no academic credit. Now, how can this happen? How can this travesty happen in a modern-day country? I'll tell you why. Because when you educate a child in an American school seat, that little seat where the child sits, that seat costs $7. That's all it costs, $7. But when you train a kid in bilingual ed or in a remedial course, special ed, that seat pays $29. So what are you going to want to identify your kids as if you want money? You're going to want to say that most of them are special ed or special education of some kind or bilingual education, because the money comes from the same fund and it does the same thing. When I asked teachers, hey, you teach Spanish, why don't you put your kids in the bilingual ed program? You know what they said to me? Tú estás loca para regresar a los hijos. Yo no lo voy a retrasar. In Spanish, that means, what, are you nuts? You think I'm going to put my kid in a backwards program? That's what they said. So the teachers who are teaching bilingual ed know that those kids don't get academic credit. So by the seventh grade, when they legally have to inform the parent that, hey, sorry, but your kid's not in a real academic program, there's no academic credit for being in a remedial class, the kids drop out. That's why they all drop out around the seventh grade. That's the reason.
Yeah. It's one of America's
most embarrassing academic programs. It's a huge disgrace.
This isn't racism. This, to me, is the system being corrupt and people looking out for their own self-interest and not for the children. The same thing with special education.
Same thing. And do you know who leads it? The politicians do.
Absolutely. And these politicians
go to the schools and they get 600-800 block votes at a time. So they just have to give one speech,
right.
And instead of getting 20 people, they get 700 people.
There you go.
In one shot.
It's an American disgrace.
It's a disgrace.
Well, but more Americans should just be informed, particularly those who live in the inner city. My suggestion is vouchers. Anyway, Ruthie, that was a great speech. I know we went a little bit off track. The civil rights movement, has it been perverted? Let's go to Black Jew. Black Jew's been, although he hasn't lived that long, he has been around a lot of civil rights movements or racial movements, including the Nation of Islam and the Hebrew Israelites. Black Jew, do you have anything to say about the civil rights movement and if it's been perverted and over-emotionalized?
I think so, over time.
Anything you can expand on that, like any of your personal experiences or anything like that?
Well,
I kind of wanted to get back to the topic of the Trayvon Martin case, and I could link that to that.
Okay, go ahead.
And just saying that I think, you know, a few callers may have been blacked, you know, today. And I do agree that I think that what Zimmerman did may have been cowardly, but I think it was Black Supreme or Black Progression. I forgot what his name was, Progress or whatever. I do agree that it seemed, at least that's just my perception, it seems cowardly, but again, the law is the law, and from what I've gathered of it, Zimmerman should walk. I think I just looked on the internet within the past hour or half hour, and I think they were maybe trying to work out a deal for a lesser charge. I think that's an option that I didn't hear tonight, that Zimmerman may get a lesser charge, and I actually thought about that.
Yeah, it's been long, but yeah, there has been that. The trial, his defense attorney was talking about. All right, let's go to High Speed Hotspot, Jerry. You got anything to add?
Oh. Whew, my brain is like going crazy after some of these. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I think everything that, you know, just as Jewish Producer said, I mean, tonight was very insightful, thought out, great discussion, you know, from both sides of the argument of everything. So I don't know what else to say. I'm just listening in. If you have a question, I'll try to answer it, but...
Oh, I have a question for you, Jerry. If anybody, any actor or any famous person that you could think of, or Blog Talk Radio host for that matter, could play the role of George Zimmerman in a movie about the George Zimmerman case, who would it be?
Comedy? Tragedy? What?
They'd name be different, it, man. You know. You're the boss of
it. I say Goofy Bones.
Okay, if it's a comedy, I would say Ashton Kutcher. But he'd have to like put on some weight, you know, Will did.
What was his friend in that 70s show? Fez could probably play a better George Zimmerman.
Fez would be awesome, but once again, they'd have to do like what some of the actors and actresses do. Fez would have to put on some weight.
Yep.
You know, for the role, you know, just really get into the role. You know.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go down the line. If anyone has anything to add, and we will be keeping abreast of this story if there are, if the final trial goes through. BTG, you have anything to add of what's been spoken tonight? Anything to add to the conversation?
Well, I think it's very enlightening. Am I unmuted right now?
Yes, you are.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I didn't hear it say I'm muted. I like what the reporter has to say. I like her viewpoints. And if she's listening, does she have a Twitter? How can I follow her? I'd like to read some of her work. And I would love to hear her ideas on homeschooling, maybe some forward-thinking things. You know, equal justice versus social justice, and you know, because this trial is not going to last forever. I don't think it really matters that much in the whole scheme of things. And is she still here? She's still on.
She is still here. She's still on. We will get to everyone.
I have
if
a reply to how I could find some of her work.
Absolutely, and
she did. She did say, tell us her name earlier, and she has given us a couple of links, but you're probably not in the chat board. So
no,
I'll see if she can. We'll see if she. Okay. We'll see. Because
I would love to interview
can,
her on TalkShoe. I'm an autism advocate, and I work with Safe Vaccines with the United Nations. COMED, I don't know if she's done any.
Okay. I just don't like the way she talks over people. We will ask Syndicated if she could repeat her information. All right, next caller, Mr. Midnight.
Okay, let's go to Iron Moon 6. Cynthia, anything to add on the conversation?
Most definitely. I would be offended if someone actually did a movie with George Zimmerman and he was able to make a dime off of this. As far as lesser charges, as long as he's charged with something and there is a, you know, something that's going to show America that you just can't do that and think that you can get away with it, you know, I would definitely go for that, because I think if he goes into the, if he's incarcerated, he's not going to last and he'll get what's coming to him. Thank you.
Okay.
Let's take Debbie.
Let's take Debbie. Little Debbie.
Guilty. 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 I'm sorry. You keep saying unmuted. Guilty. Sorry.
That's all you have to say? You have to say guilty?
Yes. Guilty.
Do you see anything to the other side where it could be self-defense, Debbie?
No. No, 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 no. I've done a lot of research on it. I'm sorry. And it all goes down to the reenactment that he did with the police. I'm sorry. That's when he blew it with me. The 911 call doesn't matter. No, guilty. I'm sorry. He stalked that kid, and I think he wanted it. And I'm sorry. I just feel that way. Right. And shouts out to Jerry. So, I'm sorry. Love you, Jewish producer.
Thank you.
Okay.
Why are you cutting her off? She's just giving us props.
Oh, you're giving us props. Okay. All right.
I love you, sir. Shut up.
All right.
Drop the axe quick. Okay.
All right.
Good. What about ABM?
ABM? Where's ABM? Okay, well, let's go to... Do we go to Black Jew? We're just going down the line to everyone. Okay, ABM. ABM. Anything to help
you?
Yeah,
well, you know. Well, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm very interested as to what's going to happen when, decision, whatever the decision is, you know, just the reaction of the people. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, as far as Zimmerman, you know, as, you know, most of the callers said, you know, there's no possible way that he could try to play an innocent role after he to sue Trayvon Martin. The thing that was interesting was what the one guy said was that the point of contact, I mean, from him pursuing Trayvon Martin into the confrontation, that's what really, you know what I'm saying, is the focal point, which we don't really know exactly what happened. But what we do know is that why did Zimmerman pursue him with a gun? What would be the purpose? Why did he pursue him with a gun? You know, and then after the police told him not to pursue him, why did he feel as though he wanted to pursue him? What was on his mind that he felt as though he had to pursue the kid? So that right there, you know what I'm saying, shows that he had some type of motive behind it. You know what I'm saying? Was he, or see him stealing something? It wasn't nothing that, you know, he just wanted to follow him. You know what I'm saying? We know that he's following him. The girl, you know, she gave a testimony. Like I said, even though she was, you know, a little ignorant, but, you know, her testimony was, you know, pretty consistent on that aspect of this guy following a kid. So, you know, it's obvious that, you know, like what the last caller said, you know, he kind of wanted that confrontation for whatever reason. You know what I'm saying? He wanted that confrontation. You know, I believe that it may have been a scruffle. I think that what he did, this is what I think happened. I think that he pursued him. You know, Trayvon Martin seen him coming. But he didn't tell him that he had a gun. You know what I'm saying? He knew that if he could get this kid to try to fight me, I could justify shooting him. That's what he did. You know what I'm saying? Because it don't make no sense that you get out the car after the police tell you not to and pursue him with a gun in your hand, you know what I'm saying? Even come walking towards him, you know what I'm saying? Even if you got his attention or he seen you first, the first thing that any person that don't want to fight with.
Oh, he dropped. Okay. Well, he was saying that, and I was getting, okay. He just, he dropped for whatever reason. You know, like I said, he did pursue him. He was following him. That's not necessarily a crime. Let's go to Black Jew, and then we'll end with syndicated columnist Ruthie. Black Jew, anything else to add?
Hello?
Yes.
I think you should open the line so we could talk amongst each other.
I'm going to end this puppy, baby.
After what, 4 hours of this debating?
Yes. Hold on a second.
I want to ask Debbie Daly a quick question.
Okay.
Let's do that real quick. Debbie, are you there?
I'm the white Catholic, please. I'm not Debbie. I'd like for you to respond. Ask me as the white Catholic. Thank you. I'm joking.
Catholic. now, we the last question I wanted to ask you really quick. If anybody famous or a blog talk radio host could play George Zimmerman in a movie about George Zimmerman and the case going on, who do you think could play it? Who could play the role of George Zimmerman?
Goofy Bone.
Yeah, me and Herm are both agreement. Goofy Bone would be the perfect George Zimmerman.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Let me take that back. Stabby can play the skinny George Zimmerman, and then Goofy Bone can play the guy who's really stressed out on trial and like 300 pounds. So Goofy Bone, Stabby McHugs in the beginning, and then Goofy Bone at the end.
You know, I think Stabby's been gaining a lot of weight lately. Yeah. I think he could just play his action double.
Yeah, maybe.
I love you guys.
All right. Black Jew, do you have anything to add? He just wanted to open up the ending lines for the fight. All right, I'm sorry, Black Jew. We get back. Okay, I'm sorry. Guys, on the 28th, we are going to have a show on the integration of the military, Harry Truman's executive order. Syndicated columnist Ruthie, anything to add? Because you were the best, in my opinion, and I think Jewish producer's opinion, best speaker of the night. Anything to add to the conversation before we end it?
Someone had asked for my Twitter account. Everything we do, Syndicated News, it's got about 280,000 followers, and Syndicated Talk, that's where I do my gripes and I write my arguments throughout the court date as the court progresses. Everything I say about it is on Syndicated Talk.
Since you are a student of history, and I don't know how familiar you are with it, we would love to have you on, particularly if there are riots or whatever with the Trayvon thing, but also particularly for July 28th for Harry Truman's executive order and talk about the integration of the military, if you would be interested in that. That would be on a Sunday.
I'm sure this trial will be over by then, so it's something that I would definitely consider. But consider, we haven't integrated the armed forces still today. This is 2013, and we still have arguments between blacks and whites in the services.
That is
still
true.
To this
that
day,
is true.
Men are resisting women. They don't want women there. And frankly, I wonder, could a small woman say, pull my son out of a ditch if they were shooting? Could she pick his big frame up and haul him out of the ditch? No, she couldn't. So it's not even a matter of being anti-female or anti-small frame. I just don't want my son to put his life in the hands of someone who physically can't defend him. So it's not anti-woman, I just anti-small person. If you're going to be in the service, I think that people in the service should actually be brought in by size. I know that sounds terrible, but IQ and physical strength and size, because I don't want to be dependent on. I had a fire in New York City once, and the fireman
I'm 5'3", and the fireman was smaller than me. I had absolutely no respect for him because I knew that the big guys in that smoky room in the other apartments, he couldn't get any of them out, and I knew that, and he knew it too. He didn't belong there. What happened to the height requirement? I guess they've taken that away too because they want to be politically correct. There's too much political correctness. That's what I find.
Now, Debbie Daly's father was raised by a Marine. Debbie, do you have any comment about what Ruthie said?
I agree with 100% of what she said. I was listening to every word, and so was Victor, and we agree with her 100%.
Thank you.
No, I'm dead serious. Absolutely. I wanted to ask
her. If I'm going to be rescued in a fire, I want a big Irish guy with big arms that's going to be able to throw me over his back and drag me down the stairs. I don't want a little guy that I know I can take him, and I got to pick him up and give him mouth-to-mouth because he's tiny and his equipment is heavier than he is.
Exactly.
I want to have faith. I want to have it's true. I've seen in Miami Beach there's a police officer who's about 5'1", and she's really pretty. She's just adorable. But there comes a time when she's got to handcuff a big guy, and she knows she can't do it. As far as I'm concerned, at that point she's inept. She can't do her job. She doesn't belong there.
I said last night on my show, I don't like female police officers, and I know that sounds horrible, and I am not a feminist, and I am not I'm nothing. I just I'm weird.
Now, if you bring me a police officer whose name is Helga, she wears braids, she's got one eyebrow, she's got a size 12 shoe,
and
maybe
rubber gloves.
6'2". That's the gal that I want to protect me. That's the one.
Oh.
Exactly.
Sherry, you said rubber gloves. There we go. Sherry, do you have a comment on that? I'm just going to open up the lines, and then I'll call it a day.
I do have a bit of a comment on that, you know, just from direct experience and getting all serious and everything, but I served.
I've got to go to bed. I've got to be in court in 3 hours.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
Night.
Go to court.
I have so enjoyed you guys. I will mention you tomorrow.
Thank you very much. And, yes, actually, and show any, you are welcome anytime.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to tell you that I'm actually the only Blog Talk Radio-related person that's at the courthouse. A lot of people said, yeah, we're in the courthouse. It's not true. We went through the listings. And we made a comparison, and the only actual person who's involved in media and a host at Blog Talk Radio is myself. There's nobody else.
Oh, you have a show here on Blog Talk Radio?
Yeah, it's called Syndicated News. I've been here 7 years.
Okay. Yeah,
we will have to tune into that.
We'll have to tune in because, yeah, magnificent.
We just had a report. We just interviewed Kofi Annan on his book.
So, wow. Big hits.
Go see who's here. We've got Richard Lowry, the military historian. He works with us. Ian Williams from The Guardian. He works with us.
Come visit.
We sure will.
Oh, and Pitbull also visits us because his sister is Jennifer Betances, and she's the host of our Cuban with a Twist cooking show. We have a cooking show, too.
Oh, gosh, she must be cute.
She is.
That sounds great.
She really is. She's very pretty.
Hello?
Yes, anything else to add before I close this puppy out?
I don't want to brag or anything, but I was on a Blog Talk Radio show and Newt Gingrich called in. I kid you not.
Wow.
You know that?
Really?
Like, I think, it was like a Lone Wolf or something Wolf show. And we're just talking away, and I kid you not, Newt Gingrich called in.
I believe it. He follows it. He follows Greta Van Susteren. She follows Blog Talk.
That's good to know.
Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, thanks
Hello?
Again. Thanks again. We are just going to play us. Oh, yeah.
Hello?
Hello? Hello or goodbye? What are you saying?
Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
Is anyone still on here?
Yes.
Everybody's
still on here. All right, we're all closing out. Everyone's going to bed. There we go.
Good night.
Let's play this out.
Good night, everybody. All right.
Oh, shoot. I just hit a different...
Hello?
We should just keep saying hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.